Okay, thank you very much, Jennifer. Good evening. Welcome to the Rent Review Advisory Committee. We have an agenda, which is also located on the back. Item one, call to order and roll call at 6:01, or 6:31, excuse me.
Jeff Campbell.
Here.
Milt Friedman.
Here.
Sarah Murray.
Here.
Christopher Griffiths.
Here.
Brendan Sullivan, Sarah Yama.
Present.
So do we have a sound engineer in the house?
Yes. Do you want to turn off the mic?
Just stand where you
can. Okay, that's good. I can fix it if you want to.
It's not yet, though. It's on.
Do you want to turn it off, or?
We're getting feedback from somewhere. If that mic's off, it's one of these.
Yeah, if you turn the podium so the speaker wasn't pointing at the table, it wouldn't happen as much.
That might be.
Well, maybe we can turn it off and we'll figure it out.
Okay. These are still on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Item two, agenda changes.
I'd just like to make an announcement that three of the cases on the schedule tonight will not be heard. And as we come to those items, I will let folks know why they won't be heard. And again, as a reminder, generally any case not taken up by 9:30 will be postponed to the next available meeting.
Okay. Excellent. Staff announcements.
Just wanted to remind everyone that there's opportunity for public comment, and if you're here for a case, please fill out one of these public comment cards in the back so we know you're here. In addition, there are agendas for the night in the back of the table with the order of events. There also is a full agenda with all the materials that were submitted by the participants that's available to the public online and on our table in the very back. There's one copy to be shared. Online, our website is alamedarentprogram.org. Thanks.
Thank you. Public comment, non-agenda items, number one.
None.
Okay, consent calendar. First, did anybody go over? Did we all go over the minutes for the July 5th meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Any corrections?
Not from me, Sarah Murray.
Not from Brendan either.
Then do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes of Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. Sarah Murray.
I am Brendan Sullivan Savignano. I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Minutes are approved. Item six, unfinished business?
None.
Great. Well, then we'll move right on to item seven, new business. Jennifer, can you call the first case?
So our first case is 7A, agenda item 7A, case 911 from 2904 Central Avenue. That case is postponed, so it won't be heard tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Actually, I realized that I have to get into it, but we have a statement we need to say before we get started. So if you excuse me, I should have done that before we do that. So good evening and welcome to the September 6th meeting of the City of Alameda's Rent Review Advisory Committee. I'm Jeff Cambra, the chair of the committee, and with me are committee members Brendan Sullivan Soliniera, Milt Freeman, Chris Griffith, and Sarah Murray. We're volunteers who live in Alameda and are committed to creating a safe place for people to express their concerns about the proposed rent increases and assisting them in developing solutions that work for everybody involved. All participants are expected to treat each other with civility and respect at all times, both during and after the case is heard. Since the committee members can only hear one person at a time, participants are not allowed to interrupt when the other person is speaking. There's paper and pen on the table, so you can always write down anything or any point you'd like to make. There will be opportunities for participants to reply. There is one exception to the no interruptions rule. That's me as the chair in case we're going too far afield, and Ms. Kaufman in case we are way off field and she needs to ring me in as well. The committee wants to thank each one of you for participating in tonight's meeting. The city's rent review process is unique in that it provides a space for both residents and housing providers to come together and hear each other's concerns with the goal of having the parties create their own agreements that takes into account the needs of the other person in addition to their own needs. The person that filed the application will have the opportunity to speak first. Each person will have up to 5 minutes to tell their story to the committee. We already read the rent history and all the information that was included in your submittal, so you don't need to go over that. So there's no need to repeat that information. Once you have finished, one of us will repeat back what you have said to make sure that the entire committee completely understands everything that you want us to know about the case. Members of the committee may ask clarifying questions so that they have a better understanding of your point of view. Each party will have the opportunity to reply to the initial discussion. Once both sides have had the opportunity to present and reply, I will be asking you, what information did you hear for the first time tonight, and how does that new information change your view of the situation? From there, it will be up to the parties to decide what the agreement might be. If the parties cannot come to an agreement, then they will be asked to go back to their seats in the audience, and the committee's function will change from facilitator to making a recommendation. The parties will not have the opportunity to provide any additional information once you've gone back to your seat. The committee will evaluate the information it has, and each committee member will make a recommendation on what they think would be a fair and reasonable resolution. The committee will then vote on taking a recommendation, and depending on the type of case, that recommendation may be enforceable, subject to an appeal to a hearing officer or to the city council. We have a lot of cases tonight, so we're going to try and plow through so we can hear everyone and nobody will have to come back. Thank you very much for your time. Okay. All right. Next case.
All right, the next case is item 7B. The unit is 2058 Buena Vista Avenue, Unit B. Did you want to have the participants join the table or a staff summary first?
Let's have the participants come up. If the two parties can come up now, tenants are on this side and the landlords are on that side. Hi, I'm Jeff.
I'm Libby.
Nice to meet you.
Little to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you. Hi, come on up.
We've got
three. Hi, and who's this?
Two and a half.
Two and a quarter, yes. Okay, have a seat.
We can need more time on that because apparently pictures are going to be taken.
Uh-oh. All right, welcome everybody. Thank you very much for coming. Before we start, are there any questions about the process?
Nope.
All right, so what I'd like to get is, how would you like us to address you tonight? First name,
oh,
Mr.
Labib Ramdon. You can just call me with my first name.
Labib, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And Corwin, please, sir.
Corwin. And?
Teresa.
All right. Okay, I think that's it. Just a point of clarification, I use the terms resident and housing provider versus tenant and landlord, if you're wondering what that all means.
Resident is tenant, please.
Yes.
One of the landlords.
Yeah, okay, that's right. And the preference would be to, if we're going to be having conversations about dollar amounts, if we could talk in dollar amounts as much as possible instead of percentages in rent increases, since we spend dollars
rather
than percentages.
Okay.
Okay. So I think with that, we've kind of started to... Yes?
The staff summary?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we had someone that was going to volunteer. Would someone volunteer to reflect back on the parties?
I can go.
Thank you. Okay, Jennifer, we are ready for the background of the first case.
Okay, wonderful. So, to clarify again, the address is 2058 Buena Vista Avenue, Unit B. This unit has a non-exempt status, which means that it's subject to a binding decision regarding the amount of the rent increase. The current rent right now is $1,100 for a one-bedroom. That rent includes parking. The rent increase offered to the tenant is a $650 rent increase, which is 59.1%. That's a total rent of $1,750, which would become effective on December 1st. There has not been a rent increase since the tenancy began in 2012. And I want to just give a brief summary of the paperwork that was provided from the tenant and the landlord. They both provided submissions to share their perspective. And in addition to what you have in paperwork, there was a private meeting that happened last week to have a discussion between both parties. And I've asked both parties if they wanted me to disclose some of the content of that meeting because an agreement was not reached, and they had asked me to give a brief summary including that, so everyone's on the same page there. So in brief, the landlord recently purchased this property in June of this year. The landlord moved out of state to live here based on work and has saved money to purchase this home for a family and as an investment, and considered the ability to rent the vacant, or not the vacant, but the units that he wouldn't be living in to help cover the costs of the payment for the house or the property. And then for on the tenant side, the tenant indicated that the monthly maximum rent increase would be $60, which is 5.5%. During the meeting, the tenant went up to $100 potentially. The tenant explained that there hasn't been maintenance or remodels during the time of tenancy, and that there had been a verbal agreement with the previous landlord that maintenance would be and repairs would be done by the tenant, sort of to offset the cost of a rent increase. The tenant noted that they have a low income, and that if and currently 60% of income would be paid towards the rent. I just want to also give a brief history of the actions that have happened at the property, because there was a situation where there was a termination that was served this spring, and part of it was just a learning process that all parties were informed that there actually are regulations now in the city that require certain processes to happen when there's a termination or rent increase. So that termination was found invalid, and there was also a rent increase served that was invalid. So those have been cured, and now we're looking at the current rent increase now that everyone's informed of what the procedures are. Just to be clear, I think there were some conversations that happened before both parties were informed of the regulations regarding the termination and the prior rent increase. So just to be clear that this has been sort of a process. This is not the first month that it's been discussed between the parties.
Okay, thank you very much. So just checking in, is that a fairly correct summary of the state of the tenancy at this moment?
Yeah, except she did not, my rent was also included with the garage. I have a garage too. Comes with my unit.
Okay.
There's a washer and a dryer. I use a washer and dryer in the garage. I have my stuff in the garage. So the garage was included with my rent.
Okay.
The other addition that I would add would be that we did put in a new bathroom in the unit. That was around the May-June time frame.
Added or remodeled?
Remodeled.
Remodeled, okay. Okay, so we are corrected. All right, so Corin, you're the one who filed the paperwork, so you have 5 minutes. And I'm going to ask Milt, were we going to be using the...
We can. It's up to you.
I mean, why don't we give it? We'll have the backup. This is we're kind of trying a new thing, and I will try the first one.
Timer, and what it does is it gives us a 5 minutes, okay. 4 minutes green, and then a 1 minute warning, and then it turns red at the end of 5 minutes. there's any interruption, there's an opportunity to put it on pause. And if it's on pause, it would be blinking.
You're going to be in charge of the pause then?
I would be in charge.
Okay. And then there's a manual backup system just in case.
Okay. So there it is.
All right. So, Corin, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having us here today, members of this committee. Thank you. I understand that everyone here is a volunteer, I believe. And I know that you have a pretty lengthy evening coming up with the agenda. So my name is Corwin Hockma. This is my wife, Teresa, baby Tammy, over here. I am in the Coast Guard. I was fortunate to live here several years ago in the Bay Area. And got sent to the East Coast for 6 years, and we recently got orders to come back to the Bay Area. I'm working on Coast Guard Island here in Alameda. So it's good to be back. So in the process of coming back, we had been saving for many years, and we did want to make a real estate investment. We also, of course, needed a place to live ourselves. So we were able to take advantage of the VA loan system. I'm a government employee. I'm not wealthy, but I was able to put 6% down on this mortgage, and you know it's obviously significant. Well, the majority of our life savings is in this property here. So Alameda is a beautiful place to live, and we love that it's family friendly. It's close to work, and we're not alone. I realize that, and think that Alameda is a great place to live, and I think that's part of the reason why we have rent control here in Alameda. And there are many good reasons for rent control that we appreciate. The risk, I think, with rent control, you know, in any circumstances, is that when you have a majority of renters in a population, a majority of voting renters, there's a possibility of abuse where the voters could, you know, simply vote whatever they want into legislation, and the minority wouldn't be able to do anything about it. So, and this is, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, everyone here knows this. That sometimes called a majoritarian legislation, or dramatically sometimes people say it's the tyranny of the majority. The backstop to all of this, of course, is the Constitution, specifically the Fifth Amendment guarantees due process, both procedurally and substantially, substantively, to prevent the majority from taking advantage of the minority. The other clause that is involved is the takings clause, which prevents the government from taking property from a private person without just compensation.
So, Corin, just to interrupt for a minute, because we can't use any law.
Sure.
Here,
sure.
None at all. So So we're here to look at the merits of the rent review itself and maintenance and things like that. So we don't have a legal argument because none of us can.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. So, understanding that basically the confiscatory rent control is prohibited, and application of it is cannot be confiscatory. So I'm in the Coast Guard, and the Constitution is very important to me. I don't know if anyone here has served in the military, but something that not everyone knows is when we take on oath of office or oath of enlistment, we don't take the oath to protect the President of the United States. We don't take an oath to protect the country or the geographic boundaries of the country. We take an oath to protect the Constitution. So it is very important to us, and in the Coast Guard, whether or not we're providing security for a First Amendment protest or we're applying the Fourth Amendment to the search seizures at the high seas.
Yellow light.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we it's very important to us. So as members of this committee, I ask you to also take it seriously as public servants and to kind of consider my constitutional rights in this matter and take them seriously. And you can do that by applying a fair calculation to the numbers you have before you, and realizing that the constitutional right for a just and reasonable rate of return is not just a factor to be considered. It is a constitutional right. So thank you for your time.
Okay, great. Thank you. Reset this.
Okay. Matt?
Yes, go ahead.
So we always repeat that to make sure that we understand what folks say. And if I'm just going to kind of, I don't want to say carrot, but summarize what you just said in your ideas so that we understand as a committee. And if there's something wrong, let me know. So I think what I heard is came back to Alameda, you love living here, and you bought the property as a way to secure your future, financial future, and this property represents the majority or largest investment that you have. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you can just call me Brenda. And the ability to have a just and reasonable rate of return is not only something that you think is there in the ordinance, but is a priori your right as a citizen of the country and as a resident of Alameda.
Yes, that's right. And without a just and reasonable rate of return, we would quickly go broke.
Right. So the ability to receive a rate of return that you view as just is not just about the money, it's about your ability to live in Alameda and continue to provide for your family, correct?
Yep,
okay,
right.
And that's what this rent increase is for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Excellent, great, thank you.
Good evening. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Thank you so much, guys, for giving this time, for listening to us and help us. My name is Dalib Ramdon, and I've been here 18 years already, and I became a U.S. citizen 10 years ago. Thank you. Thank you, guys, for having me. Mm-hmm. I've been so lucky because I came from Syria, from a faraway country, and thank God I took that decision. I came here. I'm a hardworking guy. I work as a limo driver, I got married like 4 years ago to a beautiful young lady, and she's home with my baby. She's 2 years old, almost the age of Camila, and I was able also to bring my mom. So I'm a family man, hard-working guy, take care of my mom. She's a senior, she's 70 years old almost, and my wife and my daughter. And I'm a limo driver, as I mentioned before, and I've been living in Alameda for almost now 5 years, going to 6 years. I'm so happy here. My wife is already going to school. She's a chemist, so she's smart. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she will finish her degree. She's working her master's degree, and we're hoping that 2 years from now, she will finish her master's degree and find a good job. Mr. Corwin became the new landlord, I understand his situation. I understand his point. I wish I can help financially. I can't give what I don't have, because I'm a low income guy. I'm hoping once my wife gets her degree from the job, then we will have two incomes, and then I might be able to negotiate an extra money that I can score.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hardworking guy, family man, taking care of my wife, my daughter, and I help my mom as much as I can, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to do the same exact thing I just did with these folks.
Okay.
I'm going to repeat back. back what I think I heard for the committee. And if there's anything that's missing or misinterpreted, please let us know.
Okay.
So we've been in Alameda for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you love living here. You live with your wife and your child and your mother as well?
My mom lives in Oakland.
Okay. Yeah. And the rent increase being asked is not an issue what you want to pay, but rather it's not possible because you don't have the money to pay that rent.
Exactly.
Currently.
Exactly.
In the future, perhaps you'd be open to paying a higher rent increase, but as it stands now, if you were to pay the amount or ask to pay the amount that the landlord is renting, it's not possible. It's not feasible.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. You got it?
Yep.
All right. Corinne, you have 3 minutes for a reply.
So
you don't have to. By the way, you don't have to, but you have. Yes.
Clarify something real quick. So everyone is being super polite, and I love that. But also, we're just regular folks, so don't be nervous. And
right.
You know, I'm Brendan, and this is Bill, and you know, we're all just normal folks here. So don't be nervous, and just say what's on your mind and be honest.
I cannot follow.
So I think the numbers kind of speak for themselves here. What we're paying every month right now, some of the attachments may look a little confusing how they're broken out, but the escrow with the principal, insurance, taxes, and interest is $5,400 a month right now. So if you break that up into three units, you roughly get to about $1,800 per unit. That's just the PITI. It doesn't include maintenance or anything like that. We've already, during the purchase of the property, so in order to use the VA loan, we needed to mitigate all the termite damage. And so we already had to put a lot of work into the property, put in a new sewer. We've already put in over $20,000 into the property. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is and Teresa wants to say she doesn't have a job, so this is single wage here.
Okay, thank you. Habib, anything else you'd like to say?
I make around, like, it depends on my job. Sometimes I'm busy, sometimes it depends. Sometimes it's a busy out there, sometimes I'm busy, it depends on the season. So so the money is asking me to pay, basically. If I pay him, the money is asking for me to pay, honestly, I will have even no money left for me to survive. Right now, I'm a hardworking guy. I work so much. I barely be able to save some money for my daughter's school in future. But if I'm gonna pay him the money he's asking for, I will have no even money to survive. Basically, I'm just low income guy. I don't have that.
Regular income, right?
Yeah.
Regular income.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also sometimes, my mom, she lives on fixed income, but the money she's getting, it's not enough sometimes for her to buy food, so I also have to help with that.
Okay.
So financially, I'm very, very squeezed, very, so I'm really
stretched.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
May I ask a question about
that? We now, the committee will be able to ask questions. Are there any questions that people would like to ask?
I have a question about the units. This is a three-unit
building, correct? So it's three detached cottages on one lot.
Okay. And you live in one of the cottages. And
yeah, we're sort of in the process of moving into one right now.
And the other cottage is currently being rented, or it's vacant?
So there's two other cottages.
No, that's the second one.
The second one that you're not going to live in or not in the process of moving into is currently being rented.
Right. So that one is, I guess, the best way to describe it is pending.
Pending, okay.
I think the community staff can probably provide you more information about the unit if you have some more questions about it.
I really just wanted to know if the reason I ask is I'm just trying to get a better picture of, you know, is everyone, are you getting income from that unit or?
Maximizing income, yes.
Yeah. So
the other unit.
Yeah. So currently no one's paying rent on that other unit yet.
So it's kind of pending. It's actually kind of a complicated answer. We have not accepted rent from for that unit yet.
Okay. So there's no, someone's not in there with a lease yet, with a signed agreed lease between you and the tenant.
Not the lease.
That's the issue that is currently being addressed by
okay.
So
got it.
But we haven't accepted any rent from that unit.
Got it. Yet. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure. So this is Sarah Murray, and when you all purchased the unit, were you aware of Alameda's rent control laws at that time?
Yes, ma'am, we were.
And when you were considering purchasing the property, how did you take into account the rent control laws in terms of your considerations of purchasing the property and agreeing on a price and all of that?
So I think we took it into consideration. We also took into consideration the fact that, you know, there's a strong demand for rents here, and I guess it's hard to put a dollar value on, you know, what can we expect with a rent control, and do we budget appropriately for the fact that these units are rent controlled? The answer is no. We did not budget appropriately.
And did you have any contact with any of the current tenants at the time that you were considering the purchase? Did you have any knowledge of who was renting and what people's circumstances were? Or?
So we had, I guess you could describe incomplete information about what was going on. The MLS listing, when we first kind of got into things, showed three leases present on the property, but for amounts that didn't correspond with any actual numbers. They were just, I guess, pro forma figures. So we kind of learned that later that those were, you know, aspirational numbers.
I see. So let me just clarify to make sure that I understand, because this is important information.
Yeah.
So on the MLS for the property, they listed rents for the units that didn't reflect the actual leases in place, but reflected what they believed market rates would be. Is that my understanding?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And so they didn't, when you were negotiating with the seller, they didn't present any leases to you, any current leases of the tenants?
No. So that's something that I should have asked for, estoppel documents. I kind of learned about that later. Lesson learned, I guess. But the property owner was actually a trust set in place by an elderly person who, 95 years old, in a nursing home. The property had not been maintained or properly managed for many years. So I think that's the appeal of, you know, asking people to take care of maintenance on their own in exchange for lower rents. So I kind of think that was what was going on there. But the information that I received was very little about the tenancies, and I kind of was maybe overly optimistic, and I thought, well, you know, I'll figure everything out when I get there. And by the way, you know, this purchase was, I was still in Virginia when I was going through most of this purchase process.
Yeah. Corwin, I can tell you, you're not the first person that's been in that seat that has said the exact same thing, that something has happened, wasn't complete information, and that's why we're all staying where we are. Are there other questions?
Go ahead first, Brian.
Okay. To that, do you have a question? No? Libby, could you tell me a little bit more about the agreement that you had with the landlord, or was this a representative of the landlord about maintaining was it the property as a whole, or was it just your unit, or was it just a verbal agreement?
It was just the relationship between me and her was just we were like friends. She was considered me as like a son, and I was considered her like a mother. Mm-hmm. She's in the age of my mother, mm-hmm. and also friends. So you know, so the agreement was take care of my unit, only my unit. Mm-hmm. Like many times the toilet sewer doesn't go through, so physically I used to go and fix it. Mm-hmm. One day I tried to fix it one day, I couldn't. And she called the guy, and the guy came, and I watched the guy, how he fixed it. And then the next time happened, because I knew it was going to happen. I said, okay, you don't have to call the guy, I'll do it. That's just an example.
Right.
And the same thing happened to in the kitchen also. And just basic maintenance, like, you know, cleaning around the unit. If something needs to be fixed, I'll fix it by myself, so I don't have to bother her every single time.
Sure.
It was very old, very old unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure there's official agreement where she said, you take care of the units for me, and you can get a rent deduction. That's not what it was, right? It was just...
No, just verbal agreement.
Just verbal,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sir, you had a question?
Yeah, so I want to understand your financial situation there a little bit more. If you're living in one unit, what is your, you know, if you were just living in renting a place on your own, you would be expecting to pay some rent, presumably, from your salary. What is the minimum rents you need to take from the other two units to be able to support yourself in this house so that you're not going to, you know, be unable to keep up your payments?
Right.
On the mortgage and the taxes and the insurance and...
So, I mean, we can definitely cut back on, you know, other ways, you know, the personal finance, I mean, just stop spending money on things. In order, so from a cash flow-wise, it would be $1,800 per each unit to be cash flow neutral as far as the PITI is. So I think... You know, I think that's kind of where we're at. I'm not sure how little I could go before I would start missing mortgage payments. I think we would move out of the... I don't know what we would do, but... So currently we're trying to move ahead with moving the property and everything, but we are kind of going into credit card territory. With that.
Okay. So I had a question. When you went to the bank for the financing, what did the bank use as income in order to qualify for three cottages on a property?
Yeah, so yes, sir. So the VA loan, and I was able to put 40K down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my income from the military, and that was it.
So they didn't take into account the rents on the other on any of the other units.
So no sir, because I haven't been a landlord for 2 years, so
okay.
That was the reason they did not take into account the rents, but.
So you qualified on your own income then, and the down payment.
I did, and I was amazed that they allowed me to do it. Maybe they shouldn't have, but we crossed that line over. It was more than 50% debt to income ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So we were over that line.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Any other questions?
I guess I have a question. Yeah. It seems to me, and if you just look at the numbers that you're talking about, that it will work, right? I mean, he's saying that he can't afford this number. Right. You're saying you can't afford not to have a higher rent.
Right.
And I think that, but you know, that's not where we stop, right? We're creative. We try to make things work.
Right.
And it seems to me that you have an opportunity here. I mean, you would like to be able to maintain this property. If you, we have rent stabilization or rent control in Alameda, so this problem is not going to go away. You're going to, you're not going to be able to get the rent that you would like to have in a free market because of this ordinance. Realistically, somebody, there's going to be some conflict that arises. That's what the rent ordinance is. It's a restriction on rents. Now, Labib is saying, is it Labib?
Yes, correct, Labib.
Is saying that, you know, he thinks his situation might be changing in 2 years in terms of income.
Yes.
There's an opportunity here for you to say, look, you know, maybe we can't do something right now in the short term, but maybe if we consider the long term, you'd be willing to come to an agreement. You know, you'd be willing to say, okay, you know, maybe for 2 years I can keep your rent. I'm just talking generalities. I can keep this rent low. If you'll agree, and I, you know, that as I'm assuming you'll continue to want to live in this, if you'll agree to a higher rate than the rent ordinance would normally allow, you know, or that, you know, there's the possibility, I think, of creating something like that in this particular case. But that's up to you guys to work out. You know, we can't do it for you. It's just an opportunity I see for if you were talking, you know, you may be able to come to some terms. Otherwise, it's really hard for me to see that the two of you are going to agree to anything right now. So I just wanted to put that out there as something to think about.
Yeah. Hope springs eternal, right?
Always.
Yes. Anyway, so, Corin, I'm going to ask, as I said at the beginning, I was going to ask, what information did you learn tonight that you had not heard before, and how would that factor into your ask?
So I don't think, so we attended the mediation, so I didn't really learn anything new. So I kind of expected we would be at this place tonight, and we're still kind of there.
So you knew Mr. Labib's situation with his family and his income?
Yeah, I was well familiar with his situation, and I think he was familiar with mine as well.
Okay. And Labib, what have you learned tonight that you didn't know before? Is there anything?
No, not really. No, I came here like a year ago. I came to the workshop. So I knew about the situation. And, mm-hmm. No, nothing new to me actually. I know everything about it.
Okay, so we are kind of at this point where is anybody with the information they have willing to put a proposal on the table that might work for both of you?
So I think we've kind of been there before a little bit. I don't know if we want to go there again, but we started to, you know, go that way during mediation, and we just weren't able to find a kind of a middle to meet at.
Okay, and this is the same for you?
Yeah, I mean, we did the same thing at the mediation. You know, he came up with his numbers, and I gave him an offer. So
just out of curiosity, what were the numbers? What were the numbers? You started at 650. What was your number?
I think we. I think we just didn't, as far as the mediation, we didn't get too close.
But I understand. I just want to know, where were you, though, at that point? When you left and said, no, this isn't going to work, what was the offer that you had on the table? Where were you offering the beat?
I don't even think we got that far. So 1600 is kind of what we had on our mind to go to, but that's not... I don't think we explicitly came to that point during the...
No.
We didn't get to that during the mediation itself.
Right, okay. But
so that was...
Well, that's why we're here, because it didn't settle in mediation, and so... Because I'm just trying to get a feel for where we are. So is a $500 rent increase something that you can offer tonight?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. I know it's difficult. Okay, so... We're covering that.
I still
I'm going to cover that up, but you know your situation better than anybody else does.
Yeah, so basically, me and my wife have talked about it, and so far I can increase it to $100 extra, so $1,200.
Okay.
I know it's not much, but this is what I can afford.
No, I understand. Any comments from anybody?
I would just, if I may, ask an additional question of Corinne and Teresa, just so that I have clarity on the situation. What would be the impact on you if you were not able to get at least $1,600 a month in rent starting now?
So I think a large amount of our income goes towards paying the mortgage and maintenance on the property, and we kind of we'll survive certainly, but this whole kind of effort to make a investment for our family would basically be fruitless if we would have to sell the property in a few months, right after acquiring it. We would, kind of start back from square one with our finances and, just try again. But, it would be kind of be a dream killer, I guess.
Can I ask a question? How confident are you that the other unit is going to have a stable tenancy with an agreement, with an agreed upon rent increase in the near future? If you're even able to estimate that.
I am 60% sure. But I don't think that it would be maybe a good idea to talk about that unit right now.
Okay.
But it's kind of
open here. So I need some clarification around that other unit, because it's not generating any income at all right now. Is that correct? The middle. You're living in one. Labiba's living in one, and there's one in the middle.
Right.
That's that can be an income producer.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And the barriers to that are?
There is someone living there right now who does not have a valid tenancy. That's my understanding. And I've provided documentation to the housing authority to that end. And that person has been sending me checks, but I have not accepted those checks yet because I don't want to create a tenancy of suffer,
An implied tenancy.
Implied tenancy, right, until we can, at least get something written down and something at a fair rate.
So right now there is no income from the other unit.
Right.
That's not a factor, financial
situation
right now.
That's right. There's potential for income. I guess
potential,
what we want
right
to
now,
see.
These folks aren't getting any income.
Right. If that were resolved, your financial situation would be vastly different.
Yes,
if it were resolved.
If it depends kind of what you would call resolved, market rate resolved, then that would be a vast improvement. If it was something much lower than market rate, then
right now it's zero, though. Right.
Right. So I want to be clear. So I'm receiving checks from this person. I'm not cashing them. I'm just saving them until we can get this resolved.
Okay.
And I just want to clarify. The reason I'm asking is I'm just trying to figure out what your financial situation is right now. I'm not interested in the goings on of that other unit. It's, it's immaterial to you. The details of it. I'm just trying to get a financial or an idea about what each person's financial situation is like.
Here, Chris.
So you said the $1,600 was for kind of to cover mortgage and maintenance. If the tenant was able to continue doing what he was doing in terms of maintenance for his standalone cottage, would that help you at all and be able to lower your $1,600 number? I know there's a lot more maintenance that goes in than besides the general stuff, but I mean, I'm assuming that would help somewhat.
It really won't. So I'm going to be doing a lot of the simple maintenance myself, but really the entire property needs to be kind of recapitalized. It's a 88-year-old, I want to say 88 years, built in 1929. So it's I don't really see that as something that would change the current situation.
Just to clarify the numbers, Chris, because I calculated them earlier based on the information provided by Corwin, the current total cost per month for just mortgage, insurance, and taxes for the whole property is $5,140.86. If you divide it by the three units, that's $1,713.62 per unit just for mortgage, insurance, and taxes. That's prior to any maintenance costs or any additional costs for the unit.
And that escrow amount is actually incorrect.
Okay.
That's why I included the insurance policy separately.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it was a little hard for me to calculate.
The new escrow amount, the right one is $5,465.
Oh, okay.
$5,465,
okay.
So
that brings us closer
sure
to
1800. Yeah. Reach this gap. Is there any?
Well, it depends on what the gap actually is, but certainly we're not going to reach this particular gap.
Yeah. So we have our best, I think we have our best offers, and everybody knows that once we end this discussion, then you go and we make the decision, and that decision becomes binding with whatever it is. So this is kind of your last opportunity to have control over the destiny, I would say.
We can go down to $1,500 a month if the committee would find that helpful.
Habib, is there anything that you can do on your end?
I wish I can. I wish I can, but my hands are tight, so, yeah.
All right. We do appreciate the offer. I understand. So I don't think we're going to resolve this one. I think unless there's an objection, I'm going to end this part of our hearing and go into recommendation phase. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, comments.
Very tough situation.
Yeah.
I think that the financial need of the tenant is very clear. I think, you know, it's my general belief that if the tenant does not have a financial need, that we don't really have a basis for limiting rents. But I think in this case we do. I think the real question that arises is what the landlord's rights are. And sometimes that's expressed as a return on investment, that the landlord has that kind of right. And sometimes it's expressed in other ways. But I think that the whole idea of a return on investment is defined in different ways by different people. The landlord is proposing that to maintain his return on investment, he would have to have do slightly better than breaking even on his total profit and loss statement, basically. Of course, he hasn't invested that much cash, and we don't know how much. He invested a certain amount as a down payment, and he's put in some money on maintenance, so he's clearly invested in a substantial amount. But I think the real question is whether we believe and whether we operate under the assumption that the landlord has a right to break even in any case. And I think that's especially true about a property that's been purchased recently. So I have an opinion about that, just as a member of the community. It's something I've thought about, but it's not something I have any expertise in. I don't know what the legal or the business pattern, you know, the business thought is, but my own belief is that in this situation, when we're talking about purchasing rental properties, that the landlord does not have a right to immediately break even, no matter what price they pay for the purchase of a property and no matter what mortgage they negotiate for that property. That if they want to consider their return on investment, they need to consider it in the long term. And possibly a long term in the range of 10 to 15 years. So I don't think that we should consider the landlord's profit and loss statement as a reason for raising the rent. The one guidance that we do have comes from the ordinance, in which, although it doesn't refer to our hearing, to our decision, when it talks about the hearing officer, it talks about that the landlord has a reasonable let me call it a reasonable presumption to maintain the cost of operations. That they're able to, in other words, raise rents to cover their direct expenses. And that specifically does not include mortgage expenses. So we might say that the landlord has the right to cover expenses that go up, basically because of the cost of living. And I think that if you look at numbers, you can justify a landlord's raising the rent on the order of somewhere between 3 to 5% per year, depending on how you look at things. So for my mind, the tenant has a financial need that we need as a community. We need to take consideration of. And the landlord's right to raise rent, unless there's going to be some kind of increase in services, really is limited, to balance, in balance, to something like 3 to 5%. This is my opinion. This is the way I make decisions, the way I think about it. So my judgment in this case is that I would favor a rent increase of 3%, which, in terms of dollars,
it's $30.
$33. $33 a month. So that's my opinion. Now, I want to just say, though, that I am concerned about the landlord's costs. I'm not sure that we've seen the whole picture. Clearly, whoever approved the mortgage took into account his income and made the assumption that he was going to apply that income for the payment of the mortgage and for the maintenance of the property, and decided at that time that he was able to do that. I wouldn't second guess that. I would say that if he applied for the mortgage without any promise of income, that he should be responsible for doing that. So I, as much as I care about people and their circumstances, that's my best judgment about this situation.
Okay, thank you, Mel. Other comments?
I'd like to reserve my comment until I hear everybody else.
That's my job.
I get to. Okay, I'll reserve my comment until I'm right before you.
That's okay. No, anybody who would like to speak up, go ahead.
I'm happy to speak. I think, you know, I differ from you, Milt, in that I believe that our job is to be fair and balanced to both the tenants and the landlords, and not to be an advocate for tenants.
Let her finish.
I know, but I cannot. Somebody, I was just accused, I feel, of being an advocate for a tenant, and I don't believe that I am being an advocate for either party. I think that I'm following the ordinance.
Okay, she has the floor, so go ahead and continue.
So what it says in the ordinance in 6-58.85, which is always just helpful for me to look at to remind us all of what the language is, because I forget it unless I look at it. It says the committee may take into consideration any factors that may assist the committee in determining a fair resolution, including but not limited to such factors as the financial hardship to the tenant, the frequency, amount, and the presence or absence of prior rent increases, including any rent increases that the landlord was prevented from noticing or imposing during the moratorium, the landlord's costs of operation, including as to historic buildings, the costs to repair or maintain may be higher than comparable costs for non-historic buildings, any increases or decreases in housing services since the last rent increase, and the landlord's interest in earning a just and reasonable rate of return on the landlord's property. I do think the landlord mentioned that they've put over $20,000 in capital improvements into the property since the purchase, including installing the new sewer, and that's certainly something that's taken into account in the ordinance in terms of considering reasonable rent increases. But I do think that the situation here is a very difficult one, because I think in essence these new purchasers were essentially misinformed about the status of the rental leases and the rental amounts, and we're in a situation where, you know, in my understanding of what happened, the purchasers were kind of rooked into purchasing something with the belief that they had a certain income from it, coming from it that they didn't actually have, and now we're sitting here with this decision. A very difficult decision between two different parties, one of whom is going to suffer financially, I think, seriously, whatever decision we make. Because I think if we don't allow a rent increase to at least $1,500 a month, it seems fairly likely that the landlords are going to not be able to continue to own the property. And if we raise the rent to that amount, the current tenant, it seems, probably won't be able to continue the tenancy. And it's a very difficult situation. And I'm not sure that we have a clear basis on which to make the decision, because I think that I agree with you, Milt, that the you know, what constitutes a reasonable rate of return and the time frame in which one should think about that is important, and I don't think that, you know, most property owners necessarily expect in the first year or two or even few of property ownership that you will necessarily see a big return, partly because if you buy a property that needs work, you expect to put money into it and to need to do capital improvements, and so there, you know, I think that I agree with you that a longer time frame is the wise and appropriate way to look at the return on investment. You know, yet at the same time, we have a situation with the landlord that is looking for a rent increase that's necessary to maintain their current tenancy in the property. And that's, you know, I'd like to hear what other people have to say about how to resolve the situation, because I think that somebody's going to lose in a serious way. And I don't think it's obvious that, I don't think it's obvious which, you know, which way to go with that. It's not to me.
I'll jump in. You can get to be last then. So, you know, I don't think it's realistic, to your point, Milt, that when you buy a property that it is going to cash flow, that you are going to have a negative on it. So the housing provider is the one who is always in control of that purchase. And you may not get all of the facts at the end of the day in this situation. It looks like there may not have been full disclosure. But I'm not sure that that becomes the responsibility of the resident that's living there. So, yes, it's a bad situation, there's no doubt. And I still don't believe, though, that someone else should have to suffer for that. And if that's the case, where if that rent increase is too large, that resident is not able to live there anymore. As far as the improvements go, the improvements generally get amortized over the useful life. So a sewer lateral may cost $5,000, but that is a 30-year improvement. So it's not an expense that would come off that. Granted, for the housing provider, it's an expense because you got to pay for it up front, and it needs to get factored in. I'm concerned about not getting the income from the other unit, because if there was income from that unit, I think that our housing provider would be more flexible on the amount of rent that they needed in order to make this thing cash flow. And that may happen and it may not. And at the end of the day, one of the factors that we are to take into account is the hardship on the tenant, resident, sorry, I was quoting it out of the book. And so with that, I'm in the $75 to $100 range.
So kind of to build off what Jeff has said, thinking of the situation slightly different, had the ownership of the unit not changed, we'd be looking at a landlord that came and was requesting a large increase, and we'd typically ask, why would it take so long? And unfortunately, the current landlord had no control over previous rent increases, but I think we should take a very similar approach to what we would do then and say, this isn't the fault of the tenant that they're in this situation. And while I definitely feel for the landlord and that they're in a very poor position, it seems like, at this point, I don't feel that the tenant should be held responsible for the actions of the previous landlord and then therefore be subject to a very large rent increase. So my proposal would be for the $100 suggested by the tenant, up to $1,200.
Okay. So, sir, I want to swing back, because I don't, did you have an amount, or were you still conceptual at this point? You'd mentioned $1,500, but was that a $400 rent increase, or was it
I didn't mention a specific increase.
Okay.
I was just framing the situation.
Okay,
as
fine.
I understood it and saw it.
So if and when you're ready. In the meantime, Brendan?
Yeah, I was trying to listen really carefully to both to see both the resident and the owner, to listen really carefully for pain and or flexibility. I didn't hear a lot of flexibility from either, but I do think, and this is not a value judgment, I think it's telling that the landlord seems predisposed to not negotiate on the rent. And I think that reason was made clear in the introduction. Which seems odd considering the large purchase of that was made. Those two things don't really square to me, the idea and the action. Which leads me to believe, knowing to the folks that already lived here before and knowing about the ordinance before they purchased the unit leads me to believe that they thought that they would be able to just zhuzh it up or get the returns that they thought they needed, that they'd make it, just make it work. I think that was a phrase that they used. And again, that's also not a valid judgment because I certainly, I've done that before in my life, probably all have. And but the owner's not currently, from what I understand, not currently fully moved into their unit yet, which means that they're paying to live somewhere. There is a salary from the code guard. The other unit could potentially be giving income, but that's a choice made on the part of the owner to not accept it, and probably because it's in a very similar situation to this. So I have no doubt about the financial pressure that the owners are under. I think that's real, and I think that was demonstrated. But I think the ability to adapt to those challenges is more so for the owner. Although I will say that we're taking the tenant's word for their limited income. I don't necessarily have a reason to doubt it, but there is no documentation given, whereas the owner gave quite a bit. So I always take people at their word.
I think we have to.
We have
yes.
to. Mm-hmm. It usually works out anyway. So, what is my thesis? I'm not really sure.
I would just like to point out.
I just
want
to make sure we roll along. Yeah, we've got lots of cases.
I would just like to point out for the record that the landlord did come down to $1,500 as a possible rent from $1,750, and
right.
that seems to be an indication of flexibility to me. And the tenant did come up $100, which, based on their available income, seems also to indicate flexibility. So I would just differ in the characterization of.
Knowing that we have lots of other cases, I am leaning towards something in the middle. I think that both families are going to have to struggle to be able to live in their homes. I don't think that if we lean more towards the owner or more towards the tenant, that we're necessarily going to change that. I think meeting somewhere in between those two offers provides an opportunity. Again, we're not sure what the complete picture is for either the tenant or the landlord. I'm not comfortable only giving a 3% or $33 only because the tenant's already expressed an ability, or at least a willingness, to pay more than that. And so I'm never comfortable giving people either. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think in this case I'd be prefer to go more to the maximum side of what the tenant's already offering, if not more.
Okay. Yeah, it is individual. It's the two parties and what's going to, we feel, is going to be fair in the context of those two parties. Is there a range? Is there a number, or is there a range you'd like me to write down?
Yeah, 1375.
What is?
That's what I wrote, 1375.
Can I make a comment through the chair?
Yes.
Just want to note time again.
I'm trying. Yes.
Thank you.
13, so that's 100, 270?
$275.
Okay.
Up from the current rent.
Of $1,100.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Sarah?
I'd like to speak.
Are
you going to go ahead?
I'd like to speak.
I was going to.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. I would agree with Brendan.
Okay.
Yes. I'd like to just respond in two ways to what Brendan said. One is that my reading of what people said was that if we approved a rent increase of $275, that the tenant's degree of suffering would far exceed that of the landlord's if we agreed to a lower rent. I think they're almost incomparable. And I recognize that the tenant did not provide documentation, and if the landlord believes that those numbers were provided, were basically untrue, I think they can appeal the case. And I would encourage them to if they think that number was not true. However, I think basically if that we approved a level of 275, that the tenant would not be able to continue to live in the apartment according to what was presented here. And frankly, I think that would be a horrible thing for us to do. And I won't vote for it. I would like to address the issue of the landlord's return on investment. According to the numbers that the landlord provided, they're receiving a
Can I interrupt for just a second? Because I had a conversation earlier this week about return on investment and fair rate of return. And I don't believe that we have the background knowledge and sufficient information to have this discussion.
Well, okay.
Now, not that I don't want to cut you off, but it's that fair rate of return is really complex. Again, I had a brief meeting. We will probably get a short training on how nebulous that concept is. So I would like to move us along to a final number.
Right.
Milt, are you at $30 after hearing all of us? I'm just picking at the edges. That's
well,
all.
I am. It's not the only thing that I would necessarily agree with, but I think that to me it is the best number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would we like to do a motion? Somebody like to make a motion?
I would like to motion for $100 rent increase up to $1,200, which is some percentage.
It's $1,200. Do we have a second?
I second it. Milt Friedman.
Okay.
Mr. Griffiths motioned.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. Motion passes 3-2. $100.
And if I could just make an announcement to the chair of the next.
Yes.
Session. Thank you. I just want to clarify that the staff will be in touch with both parties at the tomorrow regarding the outcome of tonight and let them know their options. And the case is closed for the evening. There are no further action taken.
Okay. Okay, Jennifer, can you call the next case, please?
Yes, I give you the conference card for the next case. And this is going to be item 7C, case 919. The unit is 1625 St. Clair Avenue, Unit 2.
Before we go into the assessment, can we take a 5-minute recess? Or even less, like a 2-minute recess? Just like
yes, for special. Yeah. Assistance? All right. If we could all stay, and unless you have to also go.
I'm going to just figure out why that. Why is.
Okay. That's right. Gives me a quick chance to review this.
Yeah.
You know, I can't hold them in my memory anymore. They all start to run together. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, can we call the next case, please?
Yes. So this is, again, case 19, unit 19, I'm sorry, 1625 Santa Clara Avenue, unit 2. And you have the common card if you want to call the folks that are here to join.
Yeah, Charles T. Sullivan.
Yes.
Jeannie Zuniga. And David Harris. Hi, I'm Jeff.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Never met.
I know,
I'm
you're like an
insane. That's wonderful. Getting a chance.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
I live in Japan, so.
Is that right?
Yes.
Long commute.
It is a long commute. I've recently retired and I'm back in the States, so.
You're not jet lagged.
I'm not jet lagged today, no.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for coming tonight. How would everybody like to be addressed?
Jenny, that's fine.
Charles.
Charles.
Yes. Dave.
And Dave. Okay. I know it's been a long time, but you heard the explanation at the beginning of the evening. Everybody understands the process and how
yes.
we're going to be working. Okay, great. Do we have a volunteer to reflect back?
I'll reflect back.
Okay, thank you. Sarah. Okay, can we go through the facts of the case, please?
Absolutely. So this is a unit that has a non-exempt status, meaning the unit is subject to a binding decision regarding the amount of the rent increase. The current rent is $1,300 for a one-bedroom unit. That includes the rent includes water and garbage. The rent increase offer is $130, which is a 10% rent increase to a total rent of $1,430. The effective date of the rent increase has been delayed until the review tonight. There was a rent increase last year. It was a $100 rent increase equal to 8.3%. And the
That was 2015, I believe.
It was we're in 2017.
Yes.
Pardon, yes, so 2015 was 2 years ago, exactly, and thank you. The tenancy began then in 2011. The landlord provided documents explaining the perspective, stated that they believe the current rent for the market is 38% below market value, and also noted there have not been annual rent increases. The landlord also noted that there's anticipated maintenance costs up to $150,000. And the landlord also noted that he's retired, so he has an increasing reliance on the rent income. The tenant just today provided comments, so they're not in the online packet, but I have them for you. We had emailed you, I'm not sure if you
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's four pages, so it starts here. And we have a copy available in the back of the room as well for folks interested, and each committee member has them on the table. tenant, so I'll let you read them because they're new, so maybe I'll just take the time to go over them.
So we'll give him a second to be able to read it since he hasn't seen it. Let me know when you're ready, okay, Dave?
Please. think just the most important point to note here is that the author, the tenant, stated that they find the maximum reasonable rent increase would be a $65 rent increase.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, so everybody has read everything. David, you were the one who filed the application, so you get to go first.
Okay. First of all, thank you to all the volunteers at the table. My name is Dave Harris. One of the things I forgot to submit with regards to expenses is that there is a loan on the apartment. With a monthly payments of $1,607,
$19,000. I think we need to see it. If you can make your representation, that'll be fine, but you can keep it in the middle. Yes.
So just going over the criteria that you listed here, frequency and amount of prior rent increases have been few. The rents have always been considerably below market. Landlord's cost of operation, the expenses on the apartment are quite high. They average out at 61% annually. So on $60,000 annual income, that means a net profit of $23,000. So expenses are high. Financial impact of the tenants. All tenants in the building have always enjoyed the lowest rents in Alameda, which has resulted in significant savings for them during their entire tenancy. Even with a 10% increase, the rents would still be the lowest in Alameda. And that's based on the documents I submitted going to Zillow. And on August 12th, there were 20 one-bedroom units available on Zillow. The average rent was $1,960 for those 20 units. The average rent at 1625 Santa Clara is $1,225. Their rent is $1,300. They have the nicest apartment available there. Landlord's interest in a just and reasonable rate of return. I am concerned with the fact that there was a rise in the water table this year in Alameda, and that resulted in water seeping through the foundation. So that has to be addressed. Water seeping through a foundation is not good. And the cost of repairing that is going to be $150,000, which is going to be require a loan on my part. Plus, the existing loan of $150,000 is $300,000 in payments I'm going to be needing to make in the near future. So, in terms of reasonable rate of return, which I understand is difficult. Even without the $150,000 for repair of the foundation and the $150,000 loan with a 61% expense rate, that leaves a profit annually of about $23,000. Based on the value of the apartment at $1.3 million, that's a 1.7% return on the investment, which is quite low, but more importantly, the upcoming expenses for making the repairs to the foundation in the next couple of years, the building's going to need to be repainted. So, in view of the fact that the rents have been low for many, many years and will continue to be the lowest in Alameda, even with a 10% increase, I feel that it's very reasonable to ask for that amount. I've been told that I should have asked for a 30% increase and then negotiated for 10%, but out of consideration for the attendance, I wanted to keep the rate increase as modest as possible. I just recently went through Zillow again this afternoon. There were 21 units for rent. Average rent was $1,887. The lowest was $1,600 for a 437-foot square foot apartment, which is half the size of the apartment that the tenants at 1625 live in. So, by all means in consideration, the rents are very low and will continue to stay low. But I've got some major expenses ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, questions? Sorry. I have to look at my own notes. Sorry, Sarah.
So I'm just going to reflect back to you, sir, what I understood you to represent. You have been living in Japan, recently moved back to the States. You're retired, and you rely on the income from this property to an increasing extent because of your retirement. You are facing a number of significant repairs to the property, the most notable one being that because of the rise of the water table, there has been flooding and damage to the foundation, and you've gotten estimates on that, and that's going to cost approximately $150,000, for which you'll need to take out an additional loan. You have a current $150,000 loan on the property already, and so you're seeking to raise the rent to help address these additional costs. So that you can get some kind of return on your investment that is keeping up with these costs. You have done research on Zillow to look at what market rents are and found that the rents that you're currently charging are they're below market, and even with your proposed increase of 10% would continue to be below market, and you believe that it's a fair rent given the increasing costs that you have for maintaining the property.
Thank
Is
you.
Is that a fair summary?
That's a very good summary. Thank you. Great. Questions from the committee?
Yeah, I have a question. You mentioned a number that was somewhere on the order of $40,000 as your expenses. Is that right?
I submitted the documentation for that, and what I submitted were the year-end reports from the management company.
My only question about that was, does that include your mortgage payments?
As with the documented, yes, that includes all expenses.
Okay, thanks.
Mortgage payments, everything.
Okay, thank you very much.
Excuse me, I'm just checking because that does include. I have one of them. I don't see it in the December 2013, unless I'm just missing it somewhere.
What are you looking for?
But he had asked if in your expenses the mortgage
doesn't include the $150,000 loan that I pay separately. It's not paid.
Okay.
It's not paid through the management company.
Okay.
It's paid by me personally.
I see. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. I would have noticed that. All right. Any other questions? So I have a question because I went through a couple of the P&Ls, and there is a line. You had submitted lots of information. I appreciate
P&L.
Profit and loss statement. But,
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt. Are we going into question phase? Because the tenants get a chance to.
Thank you.
Summarize?
Can we ask questions? I thought we asked questions first. Sorry, I got on my sheet. We'll be back to you.
Okay.
Please forgive me. Which of you both be speaking?
I'll be speaking, and then she wants to jump in as well. Okay, my name.
Okay, excuse me. Go ahead.
My name is Charles Sullivan. I've been living in Alameda for 6 years and with my wife here, Jenny Zuniga, and I'm a preschool teacher, and I've been doing that for many, many years. So, when I moved here, married my wife, I moved into this man's building, and so far it's been great, but then we got, yes, the increase of rent, 2 years ago, and then after that, this rent surprised me too, this increase as well. And I don't know how long the gentleman has had the building, but as far as I know, it's been about 20 years I know of from another tenant, and he gets it serviced by a management company that we send our rent to. And so I think it's just poor communication sometimes, because I think also some of these pipes, since the gentleman has had it for a while, might have been, you know, need to be put, you know, of course, you know, redone. And also at the same time, with that situation that happened with the rain, I went downstairs, and I think one of the small grate in the basement area, I had to sweep the water out. And I actually peeled some of this, like a gook or something, it looked like from a past construction or something like that. I peeled it off the grate, and then more of the water was able to like go in to this grate that was near the basement. And I just think it was just poor communication that we've also had situations where like leaves have come into the toilets as well, when we had our toilets fixed too. So it's just like, I think it's mostly just catch up. And also, yes, it's probably going to cost a lot of money, but I feel it's like that situation has come upon us, and that's why the rent has been increased, or wants to be increased to the 10%, and not to what we were expecting. Okay, like maybe if you increase rent, like what I was saying, about maybe 5% this time. So I never seen you before, and I've just heard of you from other tenants and stuff like that, and we only deal with the company that services you. So it's just a little bit of like he said, she said, in the sense of that aspect. And I feel like the building, it's a great building. It's a wonderful building. It's a great design, and I wish we could have talked or something, but I never seen you before. And we enjoy the ambiance and everything, and I enjoy living here in Alameda, but as a pre-K teacher as well as my wife here, she's an emergency tech. I mean, just going up more and more and more, we're afraid like it would just become more of our absence to live there, because we can't afford that. So in that aspect, I've just been in the community. Preschool teacher. I also worked at Alameda Park and Rec, and also I did Kids Love Soccer program on the weekends as well. So, I mean, as a teacher, it's just it's hard, but you know, it's a little bit, you know, ongoing. So, just touching base in that aspect, yeah, just raising rent will be somewhat of a hardship, especially a surprise of 10% after 2 years of we raised it already.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay. Sir?
So you've been a preschool teacher for 6 years? And
well, for only 20 years.
Okay, more than 20 years. You've been in Alameda for 6 years?
I've been in Alameda 6 years, yes.
And you teach preschool here in Alameda?
No, I do not teach. Okay. I have to commute. I have to take the ferry. Sorry.
Okay.
I was watching the time. So no worries. In my sense, yeah. I take the ferry as well, so it's another expense.
Okay, so you teach preschool in the area? And
yeah.
Your wife is an emergency tech?
Oakland Children's Hospital, yes.
And you love the building that you're living in and have enjoyed living there. You haven't had an opportunity to meet the owner until now.
Yes.
You've been dealing with the management company, and your feeling is that any maintenance issues may result from miscommunication between the management company and the owner, from deferred maintenance that could have been done sooner.
Correct.
But has been delayed, resulting in creating a crisis that is requiring more intervention than might otherwise be needed.
Yes.
You had received a rent increase 2 years ago and were not expecting another rent increase 2 years down the road of 10%,
yes.
And the 5%, which is by statute, seems reasonable to you, and you all are prepared to pay that. And it sounds like from what you're saying that if the rent were increased more than 5%, that would be financially difficult for you.
It would be
difficult. I understand that correctly?
Yes.
Does that summary, did that reflect?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I do see, yeah, of course, you know, in the area, yes, there is. I mean, it's just like, that's why we have this this committee, and also, yeah, it's just become inflated in that sense, and I just feel like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm glad I don't live in San Francisco. I mean, I couldn't be there. Even the teachers can't even move there. So, yeah.
Okay, I think we're good. Now, are there questions?
Little question.
Yes.
Could you approximate about what percentage of your income currently you pay towards the rent?
I would say about 45%.
Yeah.
To the current
rent. Correct. Yes.
Okay, other questions? So I did have one question on reviewing the profit and loss statements. There's a fairly sizable line item on here that says transfer to other property. Do you have any idea what that is?
Yes, my mother's house. I needed money to fix my mother's house, so in that one incident, I transferred money from 1625 to my mother's house to do that maintenance.
I see, okay. That was in sometime in 2013, and then I assume there was another time in 2015. There's another transfer.
Everything's documented, so whatever it says, that's what it is.
So if I might ask, Mr. Harris.
I commend you. You're very observant. It's nice to know that you've read all the documents.
Yeah, we do read them all, yes.
What other sources of income do you have in your retirement other than this building?
I have dividends from stocks investment that brings in about $50,000 a year.
And so is it correct that this building is a primary source of income?
It is an equal source of income compared with my other investments. Mm.
May I ask another question?
Yes, go ahead.
You said you recently moved back to the area. Are you currently renting a place to live in the area, or do you already have housing that's available to you?
We are living in a trailer in Prescott, Arizona, looking to see if we like it there, and if we do, then we'll eventually purchase.
In Prescott?
In Prescott.
How did you come up with the amount that you were requesting for
10%?
Yeah.
The city had a limit of 5%, and looking at how low my rents were, my wife and my mother have been very sick for the last 5 years, so my priorities have not been on the apartment. I kind of assumed that the management company was keeping up with the rents. And I'm not a very good businessman, so when I finally realized that my rents were, 38% below market, and then I got hit with these huge expenses with the foundation and all, I said, 5%'s not enough, and 10% still extremely modest, based on the history of the rents and the current rents compared to the market.
One of the things I noticed about your expenses is that they don't include any kind of a capital reserve. Like every month you put away a certain amount of money to cover things like French drains and things like that. I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do, right? To want to cover those kind of expenses.
Yes.
It is a reasonable thing. So, in other words, you would want to presumably include in your rents a certain amount of money that you would be putting aside for these kind of large purchases. But I get the sense that you haven't done that.
Yes,
that right?
I do that. I know that in 2 years' time, the building's going to have to be repainted.
Uh-huh.
So I will plan for that, and the money will be available.
Right, right.
Those are things I can plan for. I cannot plan for a one-time rise in the water table.
I get it. Right. I see.
So the answer to the question is yes, I do prepare for problems for upcoming maintenance.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is you have that's been built in, but you haven't built in this more catastrophic.
I have not built $150,000 into my plants.
It's, I mean, it's notable that, to, I think to a great extent, the increase that you're asking is sort of covers, you know, a sort of a 30-year depreciation on that job, on putting in the French drains, if you look at it that way. So it's that makes sense to me. I understand it. Yeah. Thank you.
So, I had a question. Is the foundation already done, or is that prospective? It's going to be done, and it's prospective done. Okay. I just wasn't sure. So that's an expense coming up.
You can't let water come through your foundation. It has to be dealt with.
No, I do understand. No, I represented two people that had flooded basements. So, all right. Any other questions?
I have another question.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
On average, per year, do you get an annual raise? Is that something that's a part of your jobs?
No, I have not. I work for the Archdiocese, and so it's a little bit just, you know, just what they get in nonprofit.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so I am, question?
I said no.
Oh, no, okay. I obviously can't hear too well. So, yes, Dave, you just have met tonight for the first time and haven't had a chance to know each other. Is there anything that you've heard tonight that you didn't know before that would have some influence on your current position?
In reading this document that I just read, it was mentioned something about catch-up and deferred maintenance. I'm not really clear on what that means.
Maybe you could explain.
I wrote the document. I wrote my deferred maintenance is in reference to the flooding of the basement. We've lived there for 6 years. It's been a known issue that every time it rains, little or hard, that basement floods. That's something that we've let OMM know every single time it happens. And so when I wrote deferred maintenance, it seems like that things were never really addressed until it became a super big problem. So now, when the basement super flooded this past winter, like, oh, now we got to get on it. So it was just minor fixes, whereas if things had been handled as they arose when we told the property management company, I don't know if we would find ourselves in this situation with, you know, that sort of maintenance that needs be done.
I think when you say basement, you're referring to the drain at the rear of the house, because the basements, storage A and storage B, have never flooded.
That basement flooded this past winter, that one storage unit that's directly to the right of the stairwell.
Yes, that's the only time it has ever flooded.
Water has come.
Rise in the water table.
What it does, it goes through under the doorway, and it goes, like, of course, of this winter, it was the terrible one. But before that, it only made it to where the washer and dryer is. In that area, we've talked about that too, OMN, to the sense of, like, water has been coming. It didn't go raised to like a foot or so, but there's been water going in there. And we just go, okay, you know, yes, you know, we're obligated to pay this, water, you know, good affordable rent, but it's been there.
That's very odd, because the tenant that was renting storage A, he had to move out when it flooded, and he said that was the first time it had flooded. So, but anyway, I don't know what's going on.
But it didn't go, like I said, because of the past before, and also it hasn't gone that far, all the way to, you know, that's where the stairs are. So what it is, it's like the building and the basement is, we have a washer and dryer. There's an entrance that goes down to these steps, and then it goes inside to a basement. And what it is just in that room, there's a washer and dryer in that room. And then after that, there's a doorway, and then it leads to storage units in that doorway, in that area. And then you can go up from, we're fortunate we got the door that goes downstairs to the laundry room. But then that's where the stairs leads up to the main building of the hall, and that's where all the it's all separated. So yes, it didn't get that far to storage A and storage B, but as water has been go under the doorway and will go into there and leak into the basement. But it wasn't like, you know, a big thing go to storage A and storage B, and then that other side closet has not gone to that far, but until just the past winter. So, yes.
But that's something I've let Mason management know.
Right.
Every single time it happened.
So that's what we express, like, you know, when you say flooding, it's just like a rhetorical, just like saying, yeah, it's gone, the water's gone in. Yeah.
So, but just to get some clarification, would the fix still be the same? I mean, whether it was 3 years ago or or this year, would it still be $150,000
storage units
fix?
A and B, the water leaked into storage unit A. That's okay. Never happened. It was the first time last winter. What they're referring to is the drain in the back of the apartment, and that was fixed five, six years ago, but apparently it's still leaking, and my management company hasn't dealt with that. So I will talk to them about that.
I see. Okay.
If I can just put in...
Well, that has nothing to do with the $150,000 foundation thing. That just because of the water table.
Mm-hmm. The I know as a landlord who has a property on the west side, yeah, the water table has gone up. It went up by over a foot this year, and there's been a lot of problems with flooding because of that. And I've talked with other people who own property in the area and with a contractor who did work on my house. And so that's, may well be related to overall changing water levels because of global warming. And melting of the polar ice caps, but it is
whatever.
At least more rain.
The west, yeah. But the water table was over a foot higher than normal in Alameda, and it's continued to stay high even into the fall.
Okay.
So I don't believe we asked those folks if they heard anything.
I haven't yet. No, we were on this
one. I'm sorry.
I will be back to that one. Yeah. So I just want to make sure. So David, I know that you've just met them for the first time. So are you aware of their financial situation as well with their jobs and what they are doing? Did you know that before?
No, I did not.
You're not. Okay. And from your perspectives, is there information that you've learned tonight that you did not know before?
Well, we knew he lived in Japan. And we got that information from one of your veteran tenants, and that's all. And so, that's all we know.
Okay. Did you know that it was going to cost $150,000 to make the repairs?
Not until we received the document.
Not until we received the document.
Okay. So that's some new information as well.
Yes.
All right. So does that have any I'm going to ask the question to both of you then. Does that have any impact on the amount of money that each is willing to either pay or receive, knowing that that money is going to be going to some a major repair?
Right.
And conversely, do you know the whole 10% of the amount that he's asking for, 130 versus 65?
Right. I just feel you've had the building for a long time, and everything, yes, it's an investment, and it's a wonderful building, it's a great building, and it's just, and yes, it's an investment, and yes, and we're retiring, and, you know, gosh, I wish we had met in different terms, but, you know, and it just feels that it could have, you know, like, we all, when we invest investments, you've got to, you know, hope for the best and expect the worst in that aspect, but it was shocking to get a 10% rent increase. It was like, wow, okay, you know, it was just a little overwhelming. And yes, that's your building, it's a beautiful building, you know, and I even checked in the Alameda Museum records. I don't know if it was built in 1902, I think it was 18-something, but
1898, I believe.
Yes, so 1898, but yeah, so, and we do really enjoy living there. It's just, you know, but yeah. It's just an astonishment at 10%.
Well, it's $130. Does 10% have some particular significance, or is it $130?
I think it's 10%, $130.
Well, yeah, but you spend $130, you don't spend 10%. That's why I'm asking. So, That's right. I like to try and bring it back to.
Yeah. Okay, $130. To it's that just much. A big, yeah. It's just a big jump for art types of occupations. And, you know, you expect jumps are going to happen every so many years. You know, mm-hmm. just not, okay, we paid it something 2 years ago, and then, like, boom, 10%, $130, you know. It's like, okay, you got to be ready for that, you know. So that was, like, that was a big setback there.
Do you mind if I make a proposal before we excuse them?
Sure. Is there any other comments anybody would like to make before? And this is a precursor. We're not.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead. If you'd like to throw. We're kind of in the spot where we're ready to set them down. So go ahead.
I understand a $130 jump in, you know, at one time is quite a bit, but. How would you feel about a potential stepped increase? So $65 for, say, 6 months, followed by another $65 increase after that, which we're allowed to do under the ordinance because it's considered one increase, but it's been deferred. So while you still end up with 130, it does give you more time to adjust to the total increase, allowing you 6 months at your first proposed $65 mm-hmm. and then going up to the landlord's proposed $130.
Wow. I'd like to add something to that, though, that I think there's some understandings or conditions that money is going to fix a foundation in the place that you're living.
Correct. Yeah,
so
of course.
That it's not going into somebody's pocket to have dinner, right?
No, we're not here to look at each other.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Okay.
It's just... When you do that, it's just, I feel like after, I mean, he has the obligation, you can raise it up to 5%, you know, it's just the predictions after 2 years, now this, and then, you know, it's just like, it's a little, it kind of sets you back, and in a sense, you have to be prepared, and I don't know when you'll increase the rent again, you know, that's it's a little worrisome too.
Okay.
After our increase 2 years ago. Yeah.
So you do know that any rent increase over $5 automatically does trigger one of our hearings. So if there was a rent increase that was, they was going to propose another rent increase over 5%, he would need to come back here again.
Right.
And then we are allowed to take into account past rent increases in determining what a future rent increase or what that rent increase would be.
Okay.
So I don't want to speculate on what our decision would be, but there is a mechanism in place where this could be reviewed again in a year. And seeing that $300 rent increase and then $130 rent increase, I know I'm going to be skeptical about looking at another significant increase,
mm-hmm.
if that gives you any assurance at all.
Right.
I just know that, you know, a 10% increase now and then a 5% increase the next year, you know, I understand, you know, this is your business, but when you also submitted all those documents of Zillow, I mean, rents in Alameda are somewhat inflated as well. So if we go ahead with a 10% increase now, there's no, you know, and proceed to go 5% year after year, it's like, you know, I believe 5% is reasonable and I believe 5% is expected. The foundation is unfortunate, but that's also, unfortunately, a cost of business and having an investment and having a home.
Okay.
Hey, I ask a question?
Yeah.
The owner. So now that you're back here in the States, would you anticipate that you'll be reviewing the building with OMM on a regular basis, maybe more so than you have?
If the wife, well, my wife has to have high quality air to live in. She has environmental sensitivities,
mm-hmm.
and Prescott is the reason we're in Prescott is it's rated as having the number one air quality of any city in the United States. So we'll for all intents and purposes, we'll probably stay in Prescott,
mm-hmm.
which means the management company will continue to have to manage the property because I will be too far away to do so. Mm. And they're an excellent management company, and they have directions to fix any problems immediately. Mm. That's the standing instructions to the management company.
May I ask another follow-up question?
And I'm just trying to get a sense of people's, you know, financial conditions, because I'm hearing some uncertainty about their future from attendance, so I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around that. I don't want to make assumptions. So there hasn't been a long history of rent increases on units, which you pointed out the rents are low by elementary standards, and they certainly are. So as we talk about rent increases, I'm wondering, do you anticipate more of a standardized timetable of rent increases, maybe that wasn't made in the past? Because the tenants have been there since 2012, correct?
2011.
There's correct. Only been one rent increase so far, the 10% rent increase in 2015.
The 2015.
Yes, correct. So I'm just curious if that was a conscious decision to not raise the rents every year until you thought it was necessary, or maybe if going forward you anticipate more of a standardized rent increase.
I'm a bad businessman. The instructions to the management company were to keep the rents at about 10 to 15% below market, but the rents are 38% below market. As long as the rents are this far below market, I would probably go with a 5% increase every year until the rents reached 15% below market. And that'll take 5 to 10 years.
Is that something that you guys would be able to adjust to from year to year if there was some assurance there was going to be 5%?
Of course, because that's the ordinance. We don't plan on moving. I love living in Alameda. Yeah. I like being part of this community. I like my neighbors. Yeah. I like the unit. I like, you know.
So I guess, Dave, how could you see kind of an agreement that you've got two great tenants, I understand, I think we all agree to that, and they are able to do 5% year over year? Is there any way that there can be some assurances that would happen? I understand you've got a management company, but
that is my plan, so that's what I plan to do unless something else happens and I've got another $150,000 bill I have to pay. Right. I would be raising the rents 5% now if it wasn't for this foundation issue. Mm-hmm.
Might speak to the chair.
So,
we have 2 minutes before 40 minutes.
Okay. That's right. So is there somewhere between 65 and 130 that is going to give you some contribution? But you're talking about a $150,000 foundation, and we're talking about $65 difference. Is there anything that could work in between that amount that, and I'll ask you the same question.
I empathize with their financial situation. Their rent would go to $1,420 with a 10% increase, which is still $200 below the lowest rent in Alameda for a unit half the size. But in interest of their financial situation, I'd be willing to go with what you recommended.
65.
Which is the stepped increase.
Which is the stepped increase.
For the record.
In an effort to find some compromise.
And just to recap that would be a $65 increase for the first 6 months, followed by an additional $65 after that.
So then that's still a 10% increase.
Correct. Stepped over the course of the year.
Over a year.
Right. So instead of immediate, it would.
Yeah. I'd like to add just something with that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but with some assurance that subsequent rents were going to be 5%. Mm-hmm. And that agreement can come back here next year if it isn't, so you do have some recourse if it doesn't work out.
But, I mean, I guess I'm just kind of stuck on it's still a 10% increase as opposed to 5%.
Well, actually, it's not if you look at it because it's going to be 5 and 5, so it's a 7, you average it out over the year.
It's a 7.5%.
It would be a 7.5.
Yeah.
Over the year and then 5% subsequent to that.
Yeah.
well, again, I don't want to speculate, but that's the assurance that Dave has said that he would be able to work with. So it would be 7.5.
But I'd also like to say before either the owner or the residents say anything, we throw out ideas.
Correct.
So to try to get to a compromise, if something doesn't work for you financially, if something doesn't work, you know, on your timetable, or you just, you know, morally can't do it, don't ever think that we're pressuring you to accept. You should do what you can agree to, because the last thing we want is for you to leave here and then go home and say that is not working and it all falls apart in a month and you have to go back to the city or something more. So I just want to make that clear that we're just throwing out ideas and in the hopes of coming to an agreement.
We're sort of hoping that when we're done, the first hand you're going to be reaching for to shake is across the table.
Not your leg.
That's what we're hoping.
That's right.
That's what our task is anyway, yes.
So I guess, I don't know if it's even applicable, but apparently we're the only tenants that showed up from our building, and I know the other units were on the agenda for tonight
they
as well.
They agreed to the rent increase.
Okay. Oh. Sure.
But each one's individual.
Yeah,
the fact that, yeah, we don't look at other cases. So, no, this is strictly up to you.
I mean, they agreed to it. I don't really have an argument with
No, them, you so. Do have an argument. No, you absolutely do. Because every resident is different. Different incomes, different years of tenancy, different building. So, no, we don't use an agreement from one to come to an agreement on the other. This is strictly individual.
The other tenants know me, so that's probably why they're more inclined to agree. And they've been with me for 15, 20 years. All my tenants have been in the unit for more than 10 years.
So can I speak to the chair for a minute?
Yes.
Just want to note that we're at the maximum of the 40 minutes. If the parties would like to speak, we could postpone the decision until the next case is heard.
If you'd like if you'd like to talk, we can take the next case and you can come back.
I'll go with Chris's compromise and leave it at that.
Well, I think we're over at this side now. That's it. Do you two need to talk about it?
I voted for the ordinance. I'm kind of inclined to kind of stick with that. That being said, here, I mean, I know everything's on an individual basis, but hearing that the other tenants have just, you know, agreed to it, it makes it difficult.
I don't think the resolution that other tenants had should have anything to do with your personal position. We really don't.
Yeah. I'm more inclined to stick with what the ordinance says.
Okay. Well, yeah, the ordinance doesn't say.
Does that mean that you'd like us to make a decision? Is that what it means?
What did you feel?
So the seven, it would be $65 monthly, correct?
For 6 months.
For 6 months, and then another 65. For the following month, and then Dave, you said just 5% on a yearly basis. In that way, it's good, but I add up the $65 and the 5%, which is like what, $30, $40.
Mm-hmm. The way it would work is that. For your current rent is $1,300 a month.
Correct.
So for the next 6 months, if this agreement that Chris suggested were to go into effect, your rent would be
$1,365.
And then for the following 6 months, it would be
$1,430.
In other words, you'd be paying for 6 months the 5% amount, mm-hmm. and you'd be paying for 6 months the 10% amount. And then the rent would be set at $1,430 going forward. So any additional increases would be based on the 1430 base, mm-hmm. so that if a 5% increase were proposed for the following year, it would be 5% based on that 1430.
And breaking them up in two does count as one rent increase, just to be clear. So,
okay. One thing.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do that.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Just to confirm, both parties have agreed to a step 60 or step to 10% increase, $65 for the first 6 months, with an additional $65 thereafter.
And we do need to determine the effective date because it has been delayed.
What was the original effective date? The first?
September 1st.
I think we would keep the same effective date of September 1st.
Well, that would be...
Well, it's retroactively, yeah. So it's got to be...
I wouldn't do retroactive. I'll just start at October 1st.
Does that work out okay? That we'll do it October 1st? Excellent. Thank you very much. So they go to the...
Yes, so the next step is that if all three of you can meet with staff in the back of the room, they'll have you write down that information and we'll follow up tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I know it's not easy. Really, I do appreciate it. Thank you. I know it's not easy.
I watched you guys. I would not want to be sitting where they are sitting.
Thank you very much. It's really, really a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Really nice folks. I appreciate your time.
We appreciate you coming here. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm going to be in town tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to learn about
this. I know it's not easy.
You can email
really,
me.
I really appreciate you coming. Okay. And hopefully we won't see you next year, but if not, we will be. If you need it, we will be here.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, there's some great breakfast places. Blue Dot is good.
I have your email.
All right. Can we call the next case?
Yeah.
I don't mean to rush you.
Anytime tomorrow.
Where are you?
Okay. Everybody, we're going to call the next case.
So if you send me an email, then
920 case number,
and I'll reconfirm.
Yes, good.
Yeah, Dave, I know some people who live in.
Is there another 1625 Santa Clara?
One of my best friends from junior high school. So if you want to,
no more.
Have a reference to some nice folks there, I can.
Okay, da 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 da. 1305 Webster Street. All right.
Do you want another one?
Oh yes.
We have two more to go.
Yeah, we have two more to go. Excellent. So come on up. Tenants will be here. Housing provider will be a closure here. I'm Jeff.
Hey, how you doing? Stephen
Duncan. Come around and have a seat.
I think it's just some blank paper. It's just blank paper.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, Max. All right. Marathon night tonight.
Yes. I can't imagine.
Let's talk about what we're tough.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, John.
So we are 920, case 926, right? 926, all right.
All right.
Okay. So I got to do one quick formality.
Nice to meet you.
No, I am going to call. Just want to make sure. I got them up here, but I do need to call. Okay, thank you. All right. So, everybody, we have one quick formality before we go. So, Jennifer, would you like to call the next case, please?
Yes, so, sorry, I'm just going to... Okay, so the case next agenda item would be 7B, case 920, 1625 Santa Clara, Unit 3. They will not be reviewed tonight because they agreed to the $115 rent increase of 10%. The next item is 7E, case 921-1625
Santa Clara Avenue, Unit 4. The tenant did not attend tonight's meeting, so the rent increase is effective as noticed by the landlord. That brings us to item 7F, which is case 629-1305, Webster Street, Unit C209. Okay, great. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Marathon session. Yes. So just quickly, I want to go around and make sure I have everybody's name and how you'd like us to address you. So, sir?
Max is good.
Max.
Phyllis C.
And can you spell it for me?
Sure. Actually, it's maybe easier. F-E-L-I-C.
Phyllis C. Okay, great. Sir?
Stefan.
Stefan?
Natalia.
Sorry, say again?
Natalia.
Okay, very good. So you kind of heard the very beginning about how this is all going to work, and hopefully we won't be here till 9:30 to be able
hopefully,
to do this.
Because I have my little kid, babysitter.
All right. Okay, can we have someone to volunteer to reflect back, please? Thank you, Brendan. Okay. Jennifer, can you give us the background on this case?
Absolutely. This is, again, the address 1305 Webster Street, Unit C209. The unit is an exempt unit, meaning that it's subject to a non-binding decision regarding the amount of the rent increase. The current rent is $1,400 for a one-bedroom unit. That includes water, gas, parking, pool, and garage. I'm sorry, garbage. The rent increase offers a $1,100 rent increase, which is 78.6%, to a total rent of $2,500. That would become effective on October 1st. There have been rent increases over the past 4 years. Last year's rent increase was $200, 16.7%, and then $100, and then the year before $65, and then the year before $60. The tenancy began in 2011. The landlord stated that the property recently received new appliances, and the landlord also submitted documents with the request for this rent increase that shared market trends for rentals in the area. And the tenant also shared a response regarding this rent increase. They stated they considered the maximum reasonable rent increase to be $250, which would be a 17.9% increase. The tenant explained that the unit hadn't received remodels recently, and the tenant noted that they considered the current market rent for that unit to be between $1,600 and $1,750.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Can I just clarify something? This is a condominium in a multi-unit building, right? So the reason it's exempt or whatever is because it's a condominium. Is that right?
Right. And just to be clear, it's exempt from a binding decision, but not from any of the administrative procedures.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So, Stefan, Natalia, you're the ones who filed the application. You get to go first. There'll be 5 minutes. You don't have to use the whole 5 minutes if you don't want to. And then we'll have... reflection back and talk to the other side, and then we'll have questions and get down to it, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to start
with the scoop.
Background about us and the apartment. We are small owners, and so we are also middle-aged, and this apartment is our investment for our retirement, and actually my husband is planning on retiring. He actually purchased this apartment 26 years ago with great effort. That was his first primary residence, and then it's being rented for 20 years. As small owners, we take all the risks, and definitely there have been risks in the past. Just to give an example, there was a time where we were not able to rent because of the laws in our condominium complex, and so for 9 months, we couldn't rent, and we absorbed all the expenses at the time. Unfortunately, it was a very, very bad time. It was during the recession, and I was also laid off. So it was a bad time to have this type of risks. We have a history of few tenants that they like to stay for a while as our current tenants. We understand it's because they're happy, they like the apartment. We believe we are reasonable landlords, and we also work with our tenants. As part of having our apartment in good shape and our tenants happy, we definitely have invested money through these years. And specifically in the last 6 years, we have invested between $6,000 to $7,000, including the appliances that were mentioned. That's basically regarding, I would say, the background. I would like also to clarify that the improvements and upgrades has included actually the complex. So we have had increases in the homeowner association to be able for the complex to go through those upgrades. So the buildings have been painted, new lighting, and I think the only thing that remains in our building is the carpeting. Mm-hmm. So it's in process and it's happening. So regarding why we are increasing the rent, there were actually, I would say, three main reasons. One is that my husband is retiring soon. That's the plan. The other one is that we all know how the life cost has increased dramatically in the Bay Area in the last years. And that includes from food to transportation, that is about three times more expensive. And I can speak to that because I commute and I use public transportation, going from $1 parking to $3 and things of the sort. So that has affected us all. And then also we consider that for 6 years we have excessively low rents, and we realized we couldn't keep subsidizing our tenants. So for all those reasons, we look into the market, we did our analysis, and you have the graphs in front of you. And those graphs help us to determine the rent we believe it was a fair market rate. And that's what we proposed. Now, because we are reasonable and we like to work with our tenants, we talk to them and we offer to lower the rent to $2,100. That would put our apartment in the low end of comparable apartment rents. Our tenants told us they were willing to go to $1,800, but in that moment we stopped the conversations and we decided to come here. You also have a document where we were comparing our rents through these years and compared with the average market rent for Alameda in the same period of time. And as you can see, there is a very striking discrepancy. And we actually calculated the amount of money we actually could have had as a profit, but we didn't, because we didn't increase the rents to the market rate. So given the circumstances I have described, and also that the housing in particular in the last year has been crazy, to the point that we are being incapable to move ourselves from Oakland and go to a better school district to support our kids with special needs. And also we have great to move for me to have an improvement in a commute that I can just describe as horrible. So putting all that together, basically my summary would be that I would like us to focus rather than in the increase we are asking, in the fact that our tenants has enjoyed very, very low rents for 6 years, and that we are asking now a fair market price for our unit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll just reflect back what I think I heard you say, just to, so we have a summary. If there's a mistake or if it's not correct, please let me know, or maybe nothing I misunderstood. So I understand that the apartment was purchased quite some time ago, a great effort, and it's been an important part of your investment and retirement. And as with all ownership, sometimes it's been easy, sometimes it's been hard, or maybe it's always harder, and sometimes it's been even more hard. And now that your husband is retiring, and you need the increased amount in anticipation of his retirement, and also because the rents, you think, have been historically low compared to the market,
yes,
and you're hoping to get closer to return that other landlords are seeing in Alameda, in the Bay Area, and also the cost of living is rising not just for tenants but also for you.
For everybody.
And you need to be able to maintain your lifestyle and provide for your family, which is why you're seeking to increase the rents.
Cool.
Well, I wouldn't even say the lifestyle.
No,
it's just our basic needs.
Okay.
You know. Everything's going really, really high up, so it affects all of us. So we wish we could keep it low, you know, but we just can't do it anymore. Our numbers don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Was that a clear and accurate summary?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, very good. All right, so we'll move over, and who would like to speak?
I will.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, you too. Just some quick background. We have actually had a great relationship with our landlords. It's been a great, I'd say, you know, 5.5 years till this very stressful last few months since we got served with these papers. It's been difficult on us trying to figure out what we should do. We knew that we did have a fair rent, so we loved the relationship we had, and then you just get bam. So it's been a lot of thinking and talking and trying to figure out the best situation for both them, us, and Alameda. I'm going to go at it a little different and just go from our timeline. Not too much background, just from basically June 1st, which would be the end of our 12-month lease that we signed in 2016. we were served with papers that there was going to be a $250 increase starting June 1st, which was, well, short story, if we wanted to fight it, we would have been here, same meeting, but we talked and we decided on $200 increase. So that was 16%, $200 per month. So it went from $1,200 to $1,400. When we agreed on that, it was verbal, but my understanding and my wife's understanding, Felicity, that was if there was going to be another increase in a year, because I expressed my concerns that, okay, yeah, we'll do over 5% and not come to this meeting and not make it ugly if, you know, next year we have some assurance that you're not going to do this again. And verbally, I think that was sort of the idea, where if they were going to raise it, it was going to be something. I mean, they did hint to it, like, yo, you're still only paying $1,400. We're not going to keep it at $1,400. But our understanding that the most it would be is another $200, which if that's what we would have got served for, from $1,400 to $1,600, we would not be here. We wouldn't even be talking about it. We would have said, you guys are right. You're rewarding us for being great tenants by keeping the rent reasonable, and we're rewarding you by keeping your investment tip-top shape. So that's that part of it. But early in June, when it was there, Stefan called me, and the conversation was actually that they decided that he was going to retire, they were going to move, and that they were going to sell the unit. So, of course, we didn't want to move, but after we talked about it and Stefan informed us about the relocation fee, we did the math and we would have got $7,000 because I've been there so long. We would have had to move, which it would have been more than $1,400, but it really would have helped, you know, stay in Alameda. Philly works at Children's in Oakland. I work right in East Oakland on Foothill. Really easy commute, and all of our family's in Alameda. So we're like, okay. End of that conversation was, we'll get back to you. Fast forward to July 1st, we get served with the papers that they're raising it $1,100 per month to $2,500. So we're completely shook up. We're like, whoa, you know, we thought the coming back was either we're going to sell it, here's the date. When we talked, it said probably October 1st or November 1st, you would be relocating. So we get served with these papers at $2,500. And that's where we are. We talked about it. We just said, you know, best case scenario would be the relocation fee, and we just move out. We were hoping that, you know, they were just going to cash in on where the market was. They could sell their unit, and we would all be happy. Now, they're not selling the unit. As much as it hurt us to say, okay, don't worry about the relocation, we still negotiated from $1,400 to $1,800 last week. And, you know, this is the first time we've really got to a spot in all these years that we just said we disagree. So that's really why we're here. And last point, mixed in there, the reason there was sort of a wait, because we actually said, you know, since they're landlords and we have such a good rapport with them and relationship, like, you know, we really want to buy our first home on the island. And, you know, a condo unit, if we might have a kid in a year or two, is a little small, but we said, you know what, it would be great if it would be maybe a investment like they did. And so that took about maybe a month and a half, and on August 24th, real estate agent sent us an email with the offer of $415,000. For the unit, which if it was completely remodeled, we would have definitely thought about it, but it's just to have little upgrades, which it would still need a remodel to really be at the market that these condos are getting between, you know, the last one that was close to ours, about 380 for the one bedrooms in there. Two bedrooms, the last one was 445, so.
You know, and as has been said throughout all of this, that cost of living is going up. You know, being able to survive in the Bay Area is getting extremely hard. I grew up in the Bay Area. I grew up in Berkeley. And to, you know, come back and try to raise a family, it's becoming a place where it doesn't seem like we can stay. And, you know, we've worked really well with our landlords, and they've been really supportive, have a wonderful place. We've been we've treated it as, you know, our own, because that's what we do, and we respect that piece. But, you know, understanding that things are tough. You know, we're, you know, just 2 years yesterday, our 2 year anniversary, we're, you know, in our 30s, trying to establish, trying to create a family, trying to settle roots, and knowing the cost of living is astronomical of then, you know, with having history with, you know, our landlords and trying to come to a compromise and say, how do we try to meet each other's needs in this craziness? But then, you know, $1,100, that's significant. Understandable, $250, that hurt last year, but we were like, okay, we got this, and this is a great situation, and we love the property, and the landlords are great. But $1,100, especially after it was talked about of, oh, we're going to sell it, and then, oh, no, but we'll raise the rent, and then we're not going to sell. And so it's been a lot of stress and tug-of-war and pull of, you know, uncertainty of living on top of the stressful work we do working with kids and just, you know, wanting to come to a compromise and settle so we both have some peace of mind, but also it being fair. And I know fair can be different on both sides, which can be the difficult thing, but figuring something out where, again, you know, we can survive in this Bay Area, but starting out and trying to establish, and you guys trying to have this next journey of life of retirement. So.
And just one last thing, I made a note when with the $2,100 market value, I would agree with that if it was completely remodeled. If the place was completely remodeled, we would say, you know what, yeah, we'll just stay. But $2,100 market value in Alameda, we could get a remodeled one bedroom, or we could get a non-remodeled two bedroom one bath.
Okay.
Okay, so it sounds like you've so far had a pretty successful and healthy relationship with the landlords, and that you think that you've been pretty good tenants. And it sounds like they would probably admit that as well, that you've had a really good relationship.
Yeah.
And you love Alameda, you live close to your both your works, you have family here, and you've agreed to previous rent increases because you understood that the place was great, it was a little bit below market. And that the large amount that you paid last year was kind of predicated on the idea that any rent increases going forward wouldn't be as large. So the idea that they were going to sell was scary, but you made peace with that, and then when that was taken off the table, you were left scrambling and agreed to an even larger rent increase of $400. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
From $1,400 to $1,800?
Yeah, that was just last week. Yeah.
Just last week. And didn't go through, but feel that that's already a big stretch for you, and that the $2,100 is just a step too far, and is, in your opinion, isn't really the value, market value of the unit because it's not completely finished. And you're hoping to find a compromise because you want to stay here in Alameda and continue to be good tenants. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Did I leave anything out?
No, it would be details if we did decide.
Okay.
Is it a month to month? Are they selling it? Like, that's what's so hard with this. We're very confused on, like, where do we really go from here? That's been the hardest part, you know. So not because we really had to get our head around they're going to sell it. And then we had to get our head around, hey, we might buy it. Now we got to get our head around, okay, we're going to up the rent, but are we going to be a month-to-month? Are we going to sign a 12-month? And if we do, is there going to be another rent raise and we're going to be in the same exact position next year? Because if we would have fast-forwarded or go back to last year, we would have said, thank you, we'll just find a new place to live. And it would, you know, it just would have been a clean slate. It's just the stress of it is just...
So it sounds like the stability and the stress
of
the situation is really the hardest part for you. I mean, the financial part is hard,
mm-hmm.
but the instability and unknowing is also really important to you.
Exactly.
Having an effect, I should say.
Yep, exactly.
Now, it may be helpful, as Jeff has noted for previous cases, that because of the rent control ordinance in place, first of all, if there were a rent increase agreed upon, the landlords would have to offer you a year lease. And of course, it would be up to you to decide if you wanted to accept that or not, but that's a requirement under the ordinance. And in addition, if they were to want a rent increase next year, if it were going to be more than 5%, they have to go through this process again and come before this group, which may not have all the same membership on it, but have some of the same membership, and there would be records of what had taken place in the past, and that's taken into consideration in reviewing any rent increases going forward. So. The point of the ordinance is to create some stability. I think it's actually called the rent stabilization ordinance.
Nice.
So, if that's any, that gives any assurance or any insight into how this process affects things going forward.
Yeah. Is it okay for me to maybe clarify something? Or just
sure.
So yes, we. I understand that we had several conversations. Okay, going back to the conversation last year, we never committed to keeping it at 200. You know, it's like I wouldn't do that. Okay. It was like more like, I hope I don't have to, but it was not a commitment in there.
I just want to add that nobody can foresee the future.
And
okay. This can change 1 year.
Well, regardless. Number two, about the issue of selling the unit. So we figured that there were options to us that, you know, I may need to be moving out of the state in order to, you know, be able to survive on public servants' retirement plan. And so the option would have been, we're just exploring the options, you know, sell. And if you guys were interested, then that would have been great because it's so much easier, you know, to sell it to an existing tenant than put it out in the market and fix it up and all that, okay? So that was part of that conversation. But again, there was not a specific commitment that we are selling for sure. You know, it's like we're considering this option. We like you guys. You know, I guess we have said that pretty straight, you know, mutually. So the other option is for you guys to stay, you know. And we discussed the possibility of selling it. The market, unfortunately, is pretty high. You know, so when we look at comps and so on, I think the 380 that you mentioned was a cash offer for a unit in a complex that was in pretty bad condition. But most of them are been going for the 400 range.
Actually, just to add that in the analysis we did, apartments like ours easily are going to sell in 425.
But selling's not on the table, right?
No,
not
selling,
so we don't need to worry about that. Yeah.
Just to clarify.
All right.
But again, there was not a particular intention of selling at all.
So
that was just a comment about options that we had. We were reviewing our options as part of the market analysis, and we concluded that our best option, it was just to put the rent at the fair market price.
Okay.
For the options.
All right.
So you know, bottom line is, yes, I understand that the could be interpreted as confusing, but there were no specific commitments about that. And so back to where we are with the negotiation, because you know, we love for you guys to stay. And so we have gone down to 2100. I think that we're getting much closer. I hope that we can come to an agreement in the session. So if you guys could help us out, that would be great.
I think that you've done a lot of work too, I would say. Most of the time, there hasn't been this much work done already. And especially what I really appreciate is the fact that you've maintained friendly relationships throughout it. You know, that's really good. So I don't know how we can help, but it'd be nice.
I don't know if I can interject, but I can say yes, we tried, but it's hard, you know, in a space like this to not feel hurt.
Yeah.
You know, especially since, you know, we've had a good relationship and, you know, we've had to really approach this like, this is business, it's your investment, you know, and we've respected your investment, and I hope that's really seen through this process, but it's also really hurtful of tenants for 6 years, you know, who's respected your space, and to do that and understanding the difficulties of living in the Bay Area and knowing that things are extremely inflated because of the tech boom and, you know, everything around it that's driving it, you know, and us being, you know, a social worker and a PE teacher, you know, it's just we are trying to maintain that and not try to be really hurt by this process. And so we're trying to have open lines of communication to get to a resolution.
We totally understand because basically we are all, as I said, suffering the economic situation. I have had your age. I didn't have anything. I came to this country with a piece of luggage to finish my education. And I know how it is to get in my 30s with absolutely nothing. So what we have get it ourselves. And we have to think about our retirement. We have to think about our kid, 11 years old, that still he has a way to go because he has special needs. He's been a road, and it's been a very expensive road.
Oh, I'm
I
sure.
Have to say. In therapies and assessments and doctors and assets. So we totally understand you. It's basically we are all in the same situation, and we have to look for ourselves and our family as well. And sorry for the stress, it's been also stressful on our side, if it's any consolation for this month.
May I ask a question about the apartment? Is this, I'm sorry, this is a two-bedroom or it's a one-bedroom?
It's a one-bedroom.
It's a one-bedroom, and it's a one-bath.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 710 square feet.
And could this include all utilities?
Yeah.
Most of it. Yeah, it's pay electric.
Yeah, cable and whatever else. Extras.
Yeah, yeah, but
so it pays for garbage and water.
Included.
Parking included.
Yeah, one parking spot.
Yeah.
One parking spot.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you folks pay any HOAs on the unit. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we pay.
Have the HOAs gone up recently because of the maintenance that's been done?
It did in the previous years because they were already planning in the remodeling of everything, and so we are in the last stages. I believe our building is the last one.
Yeah, they, you know, obviously it's not perfect, but they've been doing a capital improvement project for the last, I think, 5-6 years. They've been working on it.
What are the current HOA monthly dues?
It's about
$411.
And have there been any special assessments in the last few
years? There were some for some of the balconies. They replaced the dry rot on the balconies. Mm-hmm. They did that also.
And how much have the special assessments been in the past?
Can't remember. Yeah. But there hasn't been a whole lot, but they have raised the HOA quite a bit.
And also, I don't know if you're familiar with that particular complex, but they maintain really well the swimming pool area, the landscaping, everything is well maintained.
So everybody's heard everybody's side. I'd like to hear comments. Just
referencing
the other person and your own situation. And
yeah. I mean, I think that's why we're just coming to a halt, is that they feel that they're being lenient from the 2,500 to 21, and we feel like we're lenient from the 14 to 18. But I just, the 2,500 number from the get-go, and I can take your opinions on this, that without a remodeled unit, that was a number that was inflated so that, and we know we're going to negotiate. We care about them, and they care about us. But that 2,500 was just a inflated number that's so, you know, I'm guessing they were hoping that it would get to at least 2,000, maybe 21. That, in my opinion, sorry, I'll say in my opinion, I think it was an inflated number. 1,800 is a $400 increase. You guys can do the percents with the calculator if you'd like. I feel like that's very.
We don't have to. It's four. No, it's $400.
Sorry,
no,
that's the way you spend. So
no, it's the way you spend. It's $400 more. You don't have.
It's a big chunk. And then if you want to revisit another rent increase, if we do sign a month or a 1 year lease, then we would revisit it, and that would be us communicating again. But anything over $1,800 is just, I mean, we just feel that it's very fair. And we've been very open looking at the market shopping since then. So we've had to realize, guess what, maybe this is time to move up. And obviously, if you would have sold it and booted us out, we would have got the relocation fee, which I keep going back to. But we've had to deal with it, and you sort of, at this point, it's just...
That's where you are.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear your opinion on, do you think it's fair, though?
We don't. This is a different phase. This is where we're trying to get everybody to come together. You'll sit down when we say what we're going to view, and that can always be problematic for both sides.
Well, then
So I want to speak for a minute just on the relationship, though, that you've had a fairly long-term relationship as well, and how that factors into it, because you've had other residents living there before.
Yes.
You've had it empty. You understand sometimes you roll the dice when you have a new person come in. I want to hear about the value of the relationship, just a little bit, about how you feel with X and...
Felicia.
Yeah, I was going to say it right. I was going to say Felicia.
I always made that mistake.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because relationship is also important as well. I think on both sides, and that's what I'm hearing, is that there's a good relationship and stability there.
Yeah, so very valued. You know, I think that the reason why we're here, we continue to be on speaking terms and so on, and even though right now it's pretty tough, is because we have built it up over the years, you know, and we've been pretty straightforward, talking to each other very clearly. But I do understand a little bit of this confusion, that appears to be some confusion right now. So I like to continue. I mean, I've already said it, you know, it's like, our idea is not to get you guys out of the unit. You know, I value you as, or we value you as tenants. I think it's an issue of being able to, you know, find a middle ground.
I wanted to add that, again, we have researched the market quite a lot. Personally, I have not found apartments like ours for less than 2,100. I know there are other rents, but they are not comparable to this apartment. And although it has been only half upgraded, the ones that are fully upgraded, Max, they are higher. I have checked them in our building. Because again, this is not like other rents you see out there, that they may be lower, but they don't have parking, they don't have swimming pool. You have to consider the type of apartment that it is. And definitely I've not been, that's why I said that when we move into 2,100, and by the way, the 2,500 was not inflated, it was based in the graph we took from Zillow, to be perfectly honest. Now again, we were willing to negotiate and we dropped it to, as I said, is the low end of an apartment comparable to another apartment. And I'm confident of what I'm saying with all the stuff I searched so far.
Yes.
You had mentioned that there was a time you had to hurt the whole cost of the units because you couldn't rent it out. That was back in 2008. When,
2010.
2008 to 2010.
Is when I was laid off.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were in that situation. I was right there with you.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, well, bounce back. We all do, right? What else are you going to do? Yeah. I think when we have tenants and landlords, I have a really good relationship. I don't want to be a dead horse, but I think it's helpful to think about the times when the market wasn't as forgiving to owners. Not just on these folks, take these folks out of it, but when you have a relationship that works and someone pays, and they pay on time, and they seem relatively flexible and you have a guaranteed income, I think there's a lot of value in that, because you never know if you're going to get in. You never know if it's going to go as quick. And things change, they can change pretty quickly. And you always hope for the best. Sometimes it doesn't work out, so... we've had folks come to us in the past, and that seems to have helped to keep that in your mind. I'm sure that's something you've already thought of. You seem like very reasonable, very intelligent folks. And
we have had great tenants.
Yeah.
I guess we are the lucky ones.
Oh, well, good.
But our tenants, they were always great. They left when it was their time to move on. Mm-hmm. The first tenant was with us, like...
5 years.
No, I think more.
5, 6, yeah.
Beams. One of them has been like that. I guess that's why I'm not as concerned with that regard. But as Stefan said, we don't want them to see them.
Okay, any other questions? Good. So I want to, before we decide we're going to do anything else, would anybody like to share some of their thoughts before we ask them to sit down?
Yeah.
On how... we give them a preview of how we might be looking at this, just in case there's new information that comes from us that would have some impact on either one of them.
Yeah, so the one thing that I was curious about is, I definitely see you're trying to make up for, you know, unrealized rent increases. Have you considered potentially doing that over the course of several years, maybe like 2 or 3, so... you know, potentially $1,800 this year, $2,200 next year, and then get you to that 21 to 25 range that you were previously looking at instead of making it up over 1 year. That seems like it would definitely be a lot easier on your tenants and give them a little bit more time to either adjust or find a new unit at the end of this year. And then you'd be back up to market regardless of whether they stayed or you got a new tenant. And in addition to letting them do that, it seems like you'd avoid some opportunity cost of having them move out and lost rent for the 1 or 2 months, potentially 3+ months that they would be gone. So any unrealized gains you would gain from that, you know, yeah. Seems like mm-hmm. it'd be beneficial.
Can I ask some clarification about the ordinance? Because
yes.
Sometimes, I mean, I read it many ways.
yes.
So, you know, I mean, the possibility is we, let's say we go that direction, okay? But there's no guarantee that Max and Felici are going to be there next year. So what would be the restriction from Resolution 3148 for once they leave? Do I have to keep it at the same rental, only plus 5%?
So hang on a second. John, that's kind of a legal interpretation
legal,
question,
legal
and
interpretation.
I. Do you feel comfortable with one of us answering, or would you, or would one of you
yeah.
like to answer? It just, it's bordering on legal interpretation,
oh, no,
so
yeah.
I'm going to defer.
I'm glad the
right,
yeah.
It depends, so it depends on the terms of termination. So. If they were to leave voluntarily, then state law would kick in, which means it's a cost of occupancy increase. So if they were to voluntarily leave, then you would have the ability to bring it up to market rate. If you were to issue a no cause notice of termination, then there would be a restriction. There's a restriction on that. It's a 5%. And there is a number of things you have to do to comply with that. We have a system in which we try to monitor the rate at which the new tenant comes in to ensure they comply with that. So that's sort of the short answer. I hope that answers
your question. No, that's okay. Yeah.
Because it can be complicated. Yes.
Yes. Well, because again, if you're gonna realize those gains for lost rents in the past, then and there's gonna be a restriction. The future, then it's going to be difficult for us to agree to a lower increase.
Unless I was mistaken, there's only the restriction if you issue a no-fault eviction. There's no restriction if they voluntarily leave, correct?
Correct.
Well, and there's the relocation assistance on top of that, too,
on
right?
Top of the no-cost.
On top of the no-cost, yeah. There would be the relocation assistance fee.
Cool.
All right. Any other questions? Any other insights? Anybody want to share?
No, I just want to say I had no idea what to say, but I think Chris had a very interesting point to make. And so I would just underline it. I hope you guys would consider it and think about it.
Yeah.
That was a possibility for you.
So the only thing I want to share, because I was the one who kind of wanted to have us kind of share our feelings or what our thoughts were before you sit down, to give you at least one more opportunity to consider the amount. So I just want to make 2 points because this situation comes up over and over again for a number of different reasons. So the first thing I want to say is that we are here charged with monitoring a rent stabilization ordinance. It's not rent control per se, there's no cap. However, it is to ameliorate exactly what we're dealing with right now. And I understand there are very good reasons on both sides for where everybody is and why they need to go. But for my purposes, the charge is stabilization of rent increases. The second thing is markets go up, markets go down. Real estate is unique. I don't consider comps when I am looking at a rent increase. I'm not going to give a rent increase based on what a market is doing. I'm going to look at the relationship and the past rent increases to guide me in keeping that relationship stable, if that's any insight at all. And so that's, anybody else would like to say anything along those lines? If not, everybody can take their one last shot And then we're going to terminate. We're going to close off the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I have a slightly different perspective in that I think conditions do change that make larger rent increases reasonable at times. But I think that our task is to stabilize and to look at the impact of rent increases on the community as well as on the individuals. And I think the challenge is that when you have an increase that is so large, that is a really big challenge for any individual renter or set of renters. And I think it's very difficult for anybody to absorb that kind of rent increase. And I think that under our charge is to be fair and reasonable to both sides and to create an agreement if we are asked to do so in lieu of the parties being able to do it themselves that fulfills the terms of the ordinance for the community, which is not any one of our individual opinions necessarily, but represents the consensus of the community about how to address this issue.
Can I speak to the chair just for a minute?
Yes.
I just want to note time. We just had about 1:40.
Yes,
I'm...
then real quick, one more point, just going back to my previous suggestion. The difference between your current proposal of $1,800 and your current proposal of $2,100 is $300, which is $3,600 annually. So if you fail to rent your apartment within 2 months, you essentially break even, and if you fail to rent it within longer period than that, then you actually lose money by not, assuming you rented at that 21, which sounds about close to market for the current state. Not that it's poor or anything, but based off what you said, the current accommodations, that sounds about right. So it seems to me, in my opinion, that it would be beneficial to offer the current $1,800, then wait again until next year, and then you can go up to your market rate, and then the tenants at that point could potentially decide to leave if they're not able or willing to pay that. And then regardless, you go up to your market rate that you see fit.
Or we'll try to get it a little closer.
Or you try to get it a little closer.
Sorry, Steph. 18 was it. I really, you guys are awesome. It's $4,800 more, $5,000 right there in 1 year. That's just too much. I mean, anything more than that, even attempting to put in the savings to buy a starter house is out. Even with this, I think that's actually our backup plan is just when I become maybe lifetime renters or next 5 to 10 year renters. Right. So it's just...
If things don't stabilize.
Yeah. If
okay.
If they don't stabilize.
I think we need to... Could you... One last thing. If you could come down 2, could you go up 1?
No. 1800
okay.
Was
all right,
we were at 7. We offered 1750 by email. We went up to 1800, and I think we did all our finances, and that's what we could afford.
Okay, and I think we are done then.
Just one final check. 1800, is that acceptable to you, or are you going to stick with your 2100?
No, we could come down probably to 2000, but same thing. The numbers.
Yeah, we're still too far apart. So, all right, that's great. We appreciate it.
Thank
you, Max. Thank
you so much. Sorry about the late night shares.
Thank you.
Sorry about the late night.
You don't need to apologize. We signed on for it.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, thoughts?
This is really unreasonable. I won't vote for anything more than that.
Well, okay, we're good. Thank you.
Yeah, let's put it out there in the interest of time.
Yeah, right. I think I made my points pretty clear during the conversation that I think 1800 is reasonable, assuming the tenants decide to move out you know, that would net them about the same as the total. Yeah. That was not very well said right there, but
no, that's okay. We do understand it. It's all right. I'm inclined to go along with that for different reasons. I think my intention is clear about rent stabilization, and I'm looking at 100, 100, 200, and then 700, and I think that's it's too much of a bite at one time. That's what I would want to say. I could easily accept 1,800, but I would like to hear rationale from others if there's a different number out there.
No, I would agree with the 1,800. I think that the the tenants seem to agree that they've gotten a good deal on this apartment for a period of time, and they've been willing to accept what's a pretty substantial increase in recognition of the fact that they've gotten a deal in the past and that they've had a good relationship with the landlords. It's still a pretty substantial increase, and I think that the landlord's expectation is unrealistic to impose on existing tenants, and I don't think that it's consonant with the intention of the ordinance to allow that kind of increase in a single year. It just doesn't seem, I haven't seen any expenses for the unit to justify that kind of increase in terms of the cost of operating the unit. It's, for example, it's substantially different to me than the situation with the previous case where there was a very large expenditure necessary to maintain the integrity of the property. Here my understanding is that it's the financial situation of the owners to want to get a higher return on their investment, and while that's a perfectly reasonable desire and expectation, the nature of the rent stabilization ordinance is designed to create a balancing of the interests between tenants and landlords, and there's nothing that I've seen to suggest that the return that they would be getting on the property is not reasonable, even if it may not be sufficient for what they believe there needs to be.
Makes sense. I'd also like to add, I'm sorry, because I
was very inarticulate. Because we're in the interest of time, really. Just, Milt, do you have, I don't want to cut you off, but we really need to get out of here. So
I do have a very brief, and that is that I agree with everything that people have said, with the exception of the fact of the idea that 1,800 is a reasonable rent. I think that the only reason that we're considering it is the tenants were willing to offer it, and the fact that it's not a binding decision. I think that those two factors are influencing our decision. I think that if we were to say what is a fair and reasonable rent, it would not be $1,800. So that's my only comment.
I don't think you're wrong.
Well, I don't whether it's binding or not, I know it doesn't have any influence on my analysis of it, though, that whether it is or not, it is significantly under market, and there have been small, reasonable rent increases, and over 6 years, there was improvements that were made. They gave us the whole list, so I think, and there's a good relationship there, and I think that residents came up to 1,800 to help preserve that relationship, so I think we're ready for a vote. Can I have a motion from someone, please?
Unless you really wanted to make your comment.
No.
If you did, if it's change the dollars, then yes.
No.
Okay.
I move that we recommend the rent be increased to $1,800 a month per the tenant's own offer.
I'm Chris Griffiths, and I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained. Unanimous. I did hear it.
I did.
Okay. That's it. Thank you, everyone. On to the last agenda item. For the next agenda item. All right. Where's my agenda? There it is. We don't have it. Do we have another one?
We just need to call all the next ones. We do have a landlord here.
Okay. Could you call the next one?
Yes, so the next one we have is item 7G,
number 927.1 for the unit at 2308 San Jose Avenue, Unit B. That will not be reviewed tonight because we received documentation of the tenant and landlord reaching agreement of a $320 rent increase, which is 29.6%. The next agenda item is 7H. That's the case number case number 923.1. The unit is 2305 San Jose Avenue, Unit D. The landlord did provide a public comment card, but the tenant's not here, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. We did receive verbal information from the tenant and landlord, and it looks like the landlord has a document indicating the tenant intends to vacate the property. But the landlord does have the opportunity to make public comment if they would like, but there's no action that will be taken by the committee.
Okay, so you're welcome to speak if there's anything you'd like to say, but as I understand, the agreement is that the resident is going to move out.
Yes, that's the letter that I did receive.
Okay.
But is it my understanding that if the tenant doesn't show, then the rent automatically, if the tenant does not vacate, then automatically moves to the
rent will become effective as noticed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
If the tenant does not vacate.
Yeah, so I don't have any upcoming, except that I know it's a lot of work and time on your part. And you know, it's just everybody has such a busy life. So it's, you know, you guys are really doing a really good community service just by being here and you know, just trying to weigh everything, and just using your best judgment in all cases. So you know, I think I speak for speak for me here. I really appreciate it. And you know, it's for the most part, you know, we do understand the tenants' concerns and so forth. And I know Jennifer has mediated some of the cases.
She does a great job. Yes.
Great job. And you know, to maintain the relationship, and to me, that's very key, and you know, we bring our own different perspective to the situation, and you know, when tenants bring the perspective and we bring our perspective, we can at least try to kind of accommodate and sort of hopefully at a middle ground that we can all be, you know, be happy about and the future where we can be able to, as you know, incomes increase and so forth, and then maybe
get things up, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And so, my comment is just really to thank you all for being here.
Well, we really appreciate you staying right to the bitter end here. Just for the comment, then. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I'd like to table the last two agenda items if there isn't any objection and continue them to the next month.
I second that. That's secondable.
Do we have to do that? I guess we have to. Yes. Well, actually, yes. So we do. All right. Jeff has motions that we move the item 7I and 7J to the next month agenda, and hopefully there won't be five cases for us to hear. And
Chris, my name is Chris Griffiths, and I second that.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Before you vote, actually, just the record reflect, no one is actually commenting on any of these. In other words, we don't have any public comment slips on these items.
That's it.
And that's accurate, so we should just note that. Because if we are continuing it, the ordinary practice is to allow the person to comment on it and then have the opportunity to comment on the other end if they'd like as well.
I see.
But since
having no speaker slips.
There are no speaker slips.
And if I could add for the record that yes. Both items are not action items, they're just discussion items.
Is the timekeeping mechanism, would that be, if we adopted the signal, would that be an action item?
It wouldn't change, you wouldn't have to take an action to change.
We wouldn't have to vote. We don't even have to vote on it.
Oh, all right. Okay.
We had various ideas, and so we wanted to create a public space for that.
Great. We'll do it. We'll create that space next month then, okay? All right. Item 8, public comment.
We have no further public comment cards.
Matters initiated.
I just had one comment. On July 17th, you had requested that there be an agenda item on every agenda saying that you would have the opportunity to debrief any thoughts from the previous. So just to be clear, we've discussed it, and if you'd like to debrief something, you certainly can, but it needs to be agendized. So you would have to ask at this meeting, I would like to debrief this certain topic, and we'd have to put it on the following agenda. Or you could send it in an email so we could be specific about what the topic of the debrief would be.
So we would cite a particular case if that's what we wanted to talk about?
You'd have to give some context to what was the nature of the discussion you were having so anyone could look at it and reasonably appear if they wanted to make comment on it.
Okay. Yeah, that actually makes sense. Yeah, it's a little vague, isn't it, when it just says debrief, doesn't it?
And so
it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's something that came up at the last meeting. We didn't think it would be something that we would discuss next time. That's why we're
So just to clarify, that would mean that, say, for example, if there were something from last month's meeting that we wanted to debrief, we would need to, one of us would need to cite it specifically here and put it on the agenda for the following month, so that there would be a time lag.
Jeff could put it on the agenda, couldn't he?
So, there's two options. You can say it during the meeting on, in this item, matters initiated, or you can contact staff beforehand and ask that it be agendized. And we would take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And the overarching principle is that you should give members of the public an opportunity to understand exactly what's going to be discussed. If they wanted to comment on it, they could. But if you can say debrief.
Right. And generally, our debrief is going to be on a specific case. You know, that's kind of, when you debrief, you're usually debriefing how something happened on a case. So it would have to, it should, maybe best practice would be to mention the case we're going to debrief.
It could be, but it could also be sort of an aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but just be clear about what it is then. Okay.
I have two concerns about that, real quick. One, if we put in a specific item and a case, if we be that leads to a broader discussion, we're not allowed to discuss it, right? Because it would be veering from the agenda item.
So if I could address that, but you had some questions?
And the second question was, I heard you say that we could send communication to staff if we want something at a later date, and you would consider it. Does that mean that if
they'd add it to the agenda, is what you said. They would agendize it.
You would agendize it, not consider agendizing it.
Let me address both those questions. So we are in communication with committee members to, you know, be able to administer this. And when we get requests for agendizing topics, that we talk with the city attorney's office to make sure the language follows the Brown Act and the Sunshine Ordinance. So it would probably be some sort of discussion if we could identify what was the nature of the conversation you had, that we could provide a description in the agenda that met the Sunshine and Brown Act, but didn't limit you to, you know, so you could discuss what you needed to.
Okay.
And then the second point is that I said you could ask staff to put agenda items for the following meeting, and I said we would take it under consideration because we'd have to look at how many cases we had for that evening and the staff time to prepare for it, and maybe make a staff report about whether or not we would put it on that agenda item, that agenda or a following agenda. Did you want to add anything?
No, the only thing I would add is that Jennifer's correct. It's really prudential consideration about how much time we have to discuss something. On occasion, there are instances where it might not be appropriate to discuss it for a legal reason, which I can't really give you an example right now, but I'll know.
Okay.
So if a case was appealed, would that be a reason to not discuss it here if it was going to go on?
That might be.
There's a possibility. Anyway, we don't need to discuss it. It's not happening. It's 9:45.
Got it.
Okay.
So we're on to 10, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Pardon me?
Say the 10 for the record.
Yes, 9. I said 9:45. I said 9:45.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Spencer.
And it works.